A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 35. Gratier. Din opened his eyes to the sight of Fennec Shand killing a man. She was quick about it. One blink, there was a man looming over Din, red-haired, with a loose, flabby face and a blaster in one hand, a little hollow projector in the other. And the next blink, the man's face was going slack and his throat was opening, a red gash grinning down at Din, and Fennec was standing in his place. Din didn't know when he'd fallen to the ground, or how long he'd been there. His ears were ringing terribly. Fennec was dressed all in black, a shadow come to life, and it was so dark where Din had fallen that it was hard to see her. The red-haired man crumpled to the floor, his hollow projector clattered down with him, and the image displayed on it guttered like a bantha fat candle. Someone shouted, or screamed. Din couldn't tell. His ears were ringing and stuffed full, pressure throbbing, rendering all other noise indistinct and shapeless. Fennec's hand flashed, and another body hit the ground. A weakway, wide-eyed, who died with Fennec's knife in his chest. Din barely noticed. He was staring at the hollow projector, which flickered and guttered wildly. His own face, blue and crackling, the quality of it grainy and poor, stared back at him. Din didn't understand. Fennec stood over him. She didn't look like she usually did, and Din couldn't remember why. Her eyes flashed behind her helmet. She had a knife in her hand. Din was on the ground, curled up, pain flashing red and black through his entire body. The hilt of the darksaber was in his hand. He was underground somewhere, Din thought. The floor underneath him was stone, and there was stone all around. Dim light, chains, the smell of smoke was heavy in the air, and Quinlan, Din remembered, forcing himself to uncurl a little. Fennec was here, which meant that whatever had happened couldn't be too bad. Din was safe with Fennec here. His ears roared. He had been with Quinlan Vos. Fragments of memory splintered through his awareness. Quinlan smiling at Din in the dark. Gela's place with its pink-painted walls, the flowers growing outside, worn sabbat cards flashing around the table. A mistress of staves, a six of sabers. The brass discs in the hallway, Din thought, trying to remember. His chest hurt like he'd taken a punch to his solar plexus. One for each of Ryloth's moons. The door at the end of the hall and its broken keypad, the tunnel underneath it, the biting taste of Bogonaga strong in Din's mouth. His mouth now tasted like blood, bitter and metallic. Din remembered standing. He remembered Quinlan Vos, the cave underneath Gela's place, the chains, and then Din wasn't anywhere near the wall with the chains now. He was on the opposite side of the room. His head hurt. His ribs throbbed like he'd fallen on them. I grabbed Vos, Din remembered, trying to clear his head. Fennec was here, so Din was safe, but she was here, not on a rooftop somewhere, which meant something happened. Din and Vos had felt something. Din's body had braced itself for violence. He'd grabbed Quinlan by the hood, pulled him away. And the door had blown in, followed by, I don't remember. Followed by something. Quinlan had shouted, had thrown his hands out to catch whatever had come through the door, and then nothing. A great force had tossed Din aside, a flash of light, darkness. The dead man's blood was wet, spreading out from his crumpled body in a dark pool. Din felt it begin to seep into the fabric of his borrowed pants. He looked up at Fennec. He thought that maybe she was talking, but Din couldn't hear her, or at least couldn't hear her well enough to string together the words. we were attacked, Din thought. He made himself sit up with some effort. Every muscle in his body protested, but whatever had happened to fling him from one side of the cave to the other, it had more or less left Din in one piece. He had both of his legs, both of his hands. All 10 of his fingers were there when Din flexed them. Fennec was talking. Din could almost hear her through the ringing in his ears, but not well enough to pick out individual words. He grimaced and pressed a hand to the side of his head. The air was heavy with smoke. More of what happened was coming back to Din. We were attacked. He and Voss, a Jedi hunting for slavers, had been underneath Gela's place, a hut front. They had been making plans, Din remembered. He and Quinlan had been making plans. Jassa the Zygerian ran Gela's place. She was a slaver. She was probably the accomplice who'd helped Gorga's mercenaries stage their attack on Boba's palace. But before we could do anything, we were found out? One hand still pressed to the side of his head, trying to equalize the pressure in his ears, Din looked around for Quinlan Voss. He saved me, Din thought. Din had pulled Quinlan away from whatever had come through the door. A stun grenade, if Din had to guess, judging by the electric smell in the air. And Quinlan had used his Jedi powers to try and shield them both from the detonation. Only Voss didn't know that this particular band of Futune likes to couple its grenades with a concussion charge, Din thought. That would explain how he'd ended up here, on the other side of the cave, feeling like he'd been run over by a Ronto. Voss had protected them from the stun charge, but the concussion charge had caught him off guard. The light in the cave was still dim, but Din was able to spot Quinlan anyway. The Jedi was lying a few feet away, face down on the stone floor, unmoving. He had a hilt, a lightsaber, clutched in one hand, too. Din hoped that Voss wasn't dead. Fennec's voice got louder. She put a hand in Din's field of vision to catch his attention, and Din flinched, startled. He could hear that she was speaking, but her words were too muffled to make out. He looked up at her, pressing his own hand harder against his ear. Fennec, Din said, or thought that he said. He couldn't distinguish his own voice from the noise between his ears either. He took his hand away and signed Fennec's name, using the sign Ushib had shown him a few weeks ago. I can't hear you, Din said, tracing the words with his hands. Fennec's eyes sharpened behind her helmet. Din, she said, using the two-part sign for his name that Din had shared with Ushib. He wondered when Fennec had learned it for herself, but was glad that she had. Her fingers were slow and careful, much less familiar with Tusken sign than Din or even Boba, who signed with studious attention to every motion. Okay? Alive, Din reported, pulling both of his thumbs up towards his shoulders, one hand still curled around the darksaber. What happened? Why are you here? It wasn't that Din was ungrateful. Fennec had probably just saved Din's life, taking down the red-haired man in the weak way. The man, he was dealing cards at the sabacc table, Din realized, more of his memory returning in fits and starts. The dealer had been helping Iqbo cheat, and Iqbo was the Weequay Fennec had killed. His slack face stared up at Din. Iqbo had needled Din at the sabacc table, poked and prodded, eyed him with open suspicion. And now he was here in the cave, and he was dead. Did he follow me down here? Din wondered. Iqbo had been suspicious of Din, of Galdun. Was he the one who decided to follow Galdun down the hallway? Are they all in on it? All part of Jassa's crew? Din didn't understand what was happening. A spike of pain behind his right eye made him wince. You, Fennec signed, still moving slowly and carefully, like she wasn't quite sure that she was saying the right thing. Idiot. She signed the word with a big, clear motion, moving so sharply that she smacked the back of her hand against her helmet. Din imagined that she was shouting the word, too. He winced. Sorry, he said. Fennec glared at him, eyes sharp, but after a moment she dropped her hand and held it out to Din. With her other, she made an upward motion. She wanted Dan on his feet. Din took her hand and let her haul him upright. Her grip was gentle enough. Din swayed a little, knees weak, vision gray at the edges, but managed to stay on his feet. He swallowed, and the noise in his head cleared some. He looked down at the dead sabacc dealer. The man had stood over Din with a blaster in one hand and a holo projector in the other. The blaster had fallen when the man had died, and so had the holo projector, but the projector was still on. Fennec, following Din's line of sight, bent to pick it up. When she lifted it, Din saw that it wasn't a holo projector at all. It was a fob, a bounty hunter's puck. Din had seen hundreds, had carried hundreds just like it. But the face on the puck, floating and flickering above Fennec's palm, wasn't a bail jumper's or a smuggler's or a gangster's face. It was Din's face. "I don't understand," Din said blankly. He didn't bother shaping the words with his hands. Fennec looked at him again, her eyes sharp underneath her helmet. There were words floating underneath the grainy projection of Din's face. It wasn't current. The Din on the fob had a short beard and shorter hair. But it wasn't that old an image either. Din's hair was only a little longer now than it was in the fob. Underneath his face, a short bulletin flashed in sharp orabash. "Name unknown," it said. "Species, human. Additional details, adult male, affiliation unknown. Suspected rebel ties, wanted for murder, for assault, for destruction of imperial property. Armed and dangerous, wanted alive." Above Din's face, a credit value floated. He was apparently worth 15,000 credits. "Give me that," Din said, holding out his empty hand. Fennec did. Din stared down at the puck for a second. He didn't understand. He didn't know how his face had come to be here, hovering in his palm. The bounty, it's in imperial credits, Din realized, blood running cold. Some of his aches and pains faded, replaced by the feeling of being hunted, the instinct to hide, to run. "I'm wanted for murder and destruction of imperial property. Morak." Din had shown his face on Morak. He'd let the terminal take his scans because Din's face had been the only face that wouldn't already be in an Imperial or Republic database. Except that I am in the Imperial database now. Din hadn't been able to stop the terminal from uploading his information. He hadn't even thought about it, really. He'd been too focused on finding Gideon's light cruiser, on getting Grogu back. And then, on the enormity of what he'd done. Valen Hess's eyes on his face. There hadn't been any time to try and splice into the terminal and delete Din's scans. Ikbo, Din thought. Ikbo had said he'd said that he'd seen Din's face somewhere else, and Din hadn't believed him. But if Ikbo does any bounty work... Din looked at Fennec, eyes wide. She studied him for a second, then took the puck back, and fast as a striking spit viper, pitched it hard against the nearest cave wall, where it broke apart in a shower of sparks. "Concern tomorrow," she said, hands moving. "We leave now, not safe." Din's brow furrowed. He swallowed again, throat clicking, and more sound returned past the ringing in his ears. He wanted to listen to her. He wanted to let Fennec take control of the op. Din was off balance, confused, hunted. He wanted to let Fennec tell him what to do next, so he didn't have to set aside his own confusion and fear and make a decision on his own. But he couldn't. "Jassa," Din said. Fennec's hand stilled. "Jassa," Din repeated, concentrating. He tried to push everything else, his aching ribs, the noise in his head, the confusion, down, focusing on the reason he'd come out here without his armor on, face bare, in the first place. "The bartender," Din continued, making his mouth shape the words. "The Zygerian. She's who we're looking for. She's a slaver. She worked with Bib Fortuna in the huts." "Sure?" Fennec said. Din missed the first half of the question, but concentrated and caught the second part. Her voice was still distorted, like she was shouting at Dan from the other end of a long tunnel, but he could understand her. "Focus, Mandalorian." "Yes," Din said, signing the word forcefully. "I'm sure." "Quinlan." Din broke off and found the Jedi again. He hadn't stirred. He must have taken the brunt of the concussion blast. "We need to go," Fennec said, catching Din by the arm. He shrugged her off and stumbled over to Quinlan. He was unsteady, but his legs held. Din's strength was coming back, growing by the second. "Din, someone will have heard. We're not ready to fend off an attack." Din crouched beside Voss, wobbling a little, and reached out to check his pulse. Voss had landed face down, hidden by his hair and his hood. In the dim light and heavy smoke, Din wasn't sure that he could see Voss breathing or not. Thoughts growing clearer and sharper by the second, a warrior's battle won instincts taking over, Din brushed Quinlan's hood aside and pressed two fingers to the side of his neck, searching hard for a pulse. The moment Din's fingers found bare skin, a strange jolt leapt through his body, like Din had touched a live wire instead of another man. It lifted the hair on Din's arms, opened his eyes wide. He saw nothing at all, really. Just the damp wall of the cave, just Quinlan on the ground. But Din felt something. Conviction, maybe, flashes of fear. Worry, curiosity, anger, and pain all flickering across Din's eyes like the stars in the sky. And underneath that, something else, something deeper. Like the oceans of Trask, stormy and wild, or the enormous lakes of Kashyyyk, the ones that had been so big and depthless they had had their own weather, their own patterns guided by the moons. Dark, but very warm. Threaded all through with life and light. Quinlan Voss. Din snatched his hand back, startled. The electric feeling coursing through him didn't fade immediately, but sank into Din's body like a rock thrown into a pool of water. He felt it rippling through him, that sense of other. Of a person distinct from himself. Of an Arueti, of someone who'd lived and felt and fought and thought so differently from Din himself that Din wanted to shy away. And shuddered. Jedi, he thought uneasily. It could just be that Din had collected another head injury, that he was already tired and sore and unbalanced, ears still ringing, but... But I've heard that Jedi have strange powers. He'd been told that Jedi could do things that didn't make sense. Cobb Vanth had talked about Anakin Skywalker. Boba, of the Jedi who'd killed his father. Even Kreese had told Din about Ahsoka Tano. Skywalker, Luke Skywalker, had even admitted to not fully understanding what some Jedi were capable of. Skywalker told me that the Jedi can read minds, Din thought, unease deepening. Was that what Voss was doing, reading Din's mind as some form of self-defense? Din had heard that Jedi had strange powers, but he'd never thought that he'd be on the receiving end of those powers. But if Quinlan is able to... I don't know, Din thought. He didn't know what Quinlan had just done, what Din had felt. But he'd been able to do it, which meant that he was still alive. Still shuddering, skin crawling, Din found a closed spot underneath one of Voss's arms and prodded him hard. He didn't want to touch Voss's bare skin again if he could help it. "Voss," said Din loudly. There was no point in being quiet and trying to sneak out of here, not now. A grenade had gone off. Even though Din and Fennec and Quinlan were underneath Gela's place, across the street, actually, down that long tunnel, someone must have heard the grenade go off. "Voss, Quinlan, get up, we have to go." Din prodded Voss again. Behind him, Fennec hissed. "We don't have time for this," she said. "I didn't come in quietly, Din. We need to leave." "Not without him," Din said, prodding Quinlan again. "Why? Who is he?" Fennec demanded. Her voice was sharp with impatience and concern. "A Jedi," Din said. That got Fennec's attention. A Jedi here? What's a Jedi doing under a cantina in Mos Eisley? Hunting, same as we are, Din said, tone grim. Voss, come on. Din jabbed him again, and Voss finally stirred. Ugh, Ben, he groaned. His voice was thick and confused. Leave off. What? Where? Under Gela's place, Din said, hoping that Quinlan recovered quickly. He didn't know who Ben was, and he didn't have time to find out. If it came to a fight, and it probably would come to a fight if the red-haired man's first response to finding two strangers poking around underneath the bar was to throw a stun grenade, Din would rather have the Jedi up and fighting than slung over Din's shoulders. Jedi were useful. In Mos Eisley, on Tatooine, Din continued. Quinlan rolled over and propped himself on his elbows, groaning. He blinked rapidly several times. There was a dark smear of blood on his face, shining in the cave's low light. Tatooine, Quinlan said. He frowned and met Din's eyes. You're not Ben. No, Din said. I'm Din, the Mandalorian. The Mandalorian, Quinlan murmured. He blinked again, pressing a hand to his forehead, and Din felt something shiver in the air around Voss, whose expression cleared a little. The Force? Din wondered. He'd never felt the Force when he'd been around Grogu. Skywalker had said that the Force, the source of a Jedi's powers, was in and around everything, so presumably that meant that it was in and around Din, too, but he'd never felt a Jedi use their powers around him before. Must be the head wound, Din thought, still uneasy. He put it aside. Whatever Voss was doing was clearly helping Voss get back on his feet, and that was what mattered right now. Tatooine, Quinlan repeated. Gela's place. You're the Mandalorian, and we were... You're hunting Jassa, too, he said. Din nodded, relieved that Quinlan was recovering quickly. Grogu healed Greef Karga on Nevarro, Din reasoned. An adult Jedi, a fully trained Jedi, can probably heal themselves, too, at least a little. Useful. This is Fennec Shand, Din said, shifting so Voss could see Fennec behind him. Fennec made another impatient sound. We don't have time, she repeated. That Sleemo has a fob with your face on it, Jarn. We need to leave. Which? Ah, said Quinlan, sitting all the way up and taking in the rest of the cave, which was still hazy with smoke. Voss's eyes found the red-haired man in the weakway. His name is, or was, I guess, Hired. He worked for Jassa. I've seen him around. He was dealing cards upstairs, Din said. The red-haired man had been cheating, or at least had been helping Ikbo cheat. Evie'd won out in the end, but not for lack of effort on the red-haired man's part. He did a lot of things, said Quinlan darkly. Bounty work with the Weakway gang, acquisitions for Jassa, bit of spice dealing. His name's in her ledgers a lot. Bounty work, thought Din. He felt a little sick. Half afraid, half... something else. Din didn't know what. Hyrid had had Din's face on a bounty puck. The Empire had put a bounty out on Din, and Din hadn't had any idea. I guess it doesn't even matter that I've been showing my face around the palace, around Mos Pelgo, here, Din thought, a little bitterly. The Empire, they've already exposed me. There hadn't been a name on the fob. Din hadn't given one on Morak. Mayfield had invented a fake TK number, a fake nickname, Brown Eyes, but Hess hadn't lived long enough to upload either into any kind of system. Did Hyrid? Din wondered. Din had given a false name at the Sabacc table, too. Had Hyrid time to update the puck? Were there other hunters out there now looking for Gul'dan, a man who hadn't existed until an hour ago? Nothing I can do about it now, Din thought, dragging himself back to the matter at hand. They needed to leave. Fennec was right. Jassa was a slaver. Even if she didn't turn him in for his bounty, even if she didn't kill him, kill them all, she'd certainly be able to find a use for an assassin, a Mandalorian, and a Jedi. For Boba Fett's right and left hands. They couldn't let Jassa take them. Quinlan, at least, was improving by the second. He pressed a hand to his forehead and closed his eyes briefly, took several deep, slow breaths. Din left him to it and stood back up. He was clutching the hilt of the darksaber so tightly that all of the joints in his fingers were groaning. Din looked at Fennec. "Ever heard of Hyrid?" he asked, buying Quinlan time to recover. "Or Iqbo? Oh no, they're the Weequays. Brothers involved in all of this." Fennec shook her head. She went over to Iqbo's body and tugged her knife out of his chest, shaking blue blood off before tucking it back into her sleeve. "Not that I can remember," she said. "They sound low level. But we can figure it out later. Can you walk, Jedi?" Voss took a final deep breath. Another strange feeling passed through the air. Din edged away from it. Then Quinlan stood, rolled his shoulders, and said, "If we don't take Jacen now, she'll make a run for it." "Let her make a run for it," Fennec said. "We have hunters." "This one's a hunter," she said, jerking her chin at Din. "The smart move now is getting somewhere safe. I don't know how many people this Jassa has working for her, or if she's had time to call for backup." Quinlan grimaced, but made no move to leave. "She's got a fair few," he said. "I haven't been able to get a full count, but she's got a crew of at least 15. How'd you get in here?" "That's a good question," Din murmured, blinking. He hadn't even thought to ask. He'd just woken up, and Fennec had been there. But before that, she'd been on a roof across the street. How had she gotten in past everyone in the cantina? How had she even known to come find Din? Fennec just rolled her eyes. Din couldn't see the rest of her expression, but he didn't need to. Her eyes were expressive enough. "There's a back door, you bucket brain. Your fob went dark, so I improvised." Din started a little, looking instinctively down at his boot where he'd stashed Fennec's tracking fob. He'd carried it with him ever since Fennec had pressed it on him after the attack on the sand road. "It did?" Fennec nodded. "You better hope I was not tracking those, by the way," she warned. "Seeing one go dark is... well... your fob went out maybe 5-6 minutes ago, so I came in around the back. Made some noise in the kitchen, then followed the sound of the explosion. Had to do a little shooting. I figured that if there were bombs going off, you'd be somewhere close by." "So I wasn't out for too long then," Din thought, electing to ignore Fennec's jibe. He wondered what had made his fob go dark. Whatever had done it had brought Fennec to him, though, before Hyrid had been able to get Din into binders or put a bolt through his brain. "Thanks," Din muttered, resisting the urge to scrub at the back of his neck. "For..." "Don't worry about it," Fennec interrupted, brisk. "There's no point in keeping score. Thank me by leaving, Jaren. We can get this Jassa, whoever she is, later, when there's more of us. I told you I made some noise in the kitchen, and this one..." She kicked Hyrid's limp corpse. "Probably had time to go warn the other members of his crew before he got down here, so chances are she's already left." Kark, Din thought, gritting his teeth. But if Jassa was already gone, there was no point. Fennec was right. If they'd already lost Jassa, the best move would be to pull back, regroup, and then go through the streets of Mos Eisley with as many hunters as they could rustle up. Din had wanted to bring Jassa to Boba himself, was already dreading Boba's reaction to finding out that Din had once again found himself facing a small explosion. But if Din could rally Kasik and the rest of Boba's hunters before Jassa left the city... An idea occurred to Din. "Okay, then let's get out of here," Din said. "Fennec, do you think Boba can get the Sky Towers to lock down the ports? It won't stop everybody from leaving, but it'll at least keep the legal traffic out of our way." Fennec cocked her head. "I can ask," she said, raising a hand to the side of her helmet. She had a comms array, Din knew. She and Boba often talked to each other during court, using the comms so they wouldn't be overheard by any of the palace's guests. "Wait," said Quinlan, holding up a hand. Din and Fennec both turned to look at him again. His head was cocked to the side, eyes half closed. Whatever strange feeling had hung in the air around him as he stirred, like a cloud of smoke Din had sensed instead of smelled or seen, was gone, but Din still had to resist the urge to lean away. Voss held very still for a moment. He was listening, Din thought, or maybe listening with his Jedi powers. Utterly still and utterly silent. until he opened his eyes again and nodded once decisively. "She's still here," Quinlan reported. "Who, Jassa?" Din asked, frowning. "How do you know?" "I told you," Quinlan offered Din a quick, flashing grin. "A Jedi can sense life forms if they concentrate. It is harder when there's more than a few life forms around, but it can be done, and I've been watching Jassa for a few days. She's still here." "We can still catch her." "And if they caught her between Din, Fennec, and Quinlan, they could get her to Boba." Din looked at Fennec. Fennec swore. "We don't have any backup," she warned. "I can call Colburn and his crew in, but it'll take at least 10 minutes for them to make it over here. That's a lot of time for something to go wrong, Din." "He's a fully trained Jedi," Din said, jerking a thumb at Quinlan. "And you and I know what we're doing." Fennec leveled Din with a flat look. "You got blown up," she said, slowly, like she thought that Din might still be concussed. "Literally 5 minutes ago. And now you're here, so don't let me get blown up again and it'll be fine," Din retorted. One stun grenade that had been mostly diverted by a Jedi was hardly the worst hit Din had ever taken. He'd been knocked over, stunned as Hyrid had intended, but now he was back on his feet, balanced, and even the ringing in his ears had faded to a steady buzz that was only a note or two higher than his usual ever-present hum. "I have the darksaber," Din thought. "I have a blaster. I have Fennec. We can do this." Fennec saw his determination in his face and swore again. "You're impossible," she growled. Boba had said that before. "Gardaretish." The corner of Din's mouth pulled up in a faint, almost sheepish smile. "Boba thinks so too," he said. He looked at Quinlan again, who was still listening, or reaching out with the Force, or doing whatever it was he did to sense another being, his eyes half closed. "You're sure that Jassa's still here?" Din pressed. "In the building?" Quinlan nodded. "Yes," he said. "I can't." "She is here. There are others, too." "I sense fear, anger." Din wasn't sure what that meant, but there was no time to try and figure it out. "This is insane," Fennec muttered. But she didn't try to leave or to drag Din with her. "So what's the plan, then? We just go up there and storm the cantina? What's this Jassa look like? Any other priority targets?" "She is," Din thought, chest filling with warm, sincere affection. "A good person to have on your side." He was going to have to talk to Boba and see what Boba was paying Fennec. Even if Boba was paying her a planet's ransom every month, it wasn't enough.
"What did Boba say?" "Tratalit garbes petres," Boba had said.
He hadn't defined it for Din, not really. He hadn't broken down the words and made Din repeat them back like he usually did. But he'd said that it meant that Boba and Fennec were in Din's corner. "Alit" meant family, clan. Fennec would be a good addition to any clan. This, capturing Jassa, would be much harder without her. He was glad that Fennec was here. "Zygerian," Din reported, narrowing his eyes as he tried to picture Jassa's face in his memory. He hadn't really gotten a close look at her between trying to gather as much information as possible and trying to pass himself off as Gul Dun, but Din had been a hunter for years. Catching and cataloging details had always been his job. "She's about my height," Din continued. "Bluish fur. She moves like she's had some combat training." Fennec nodded. "I'll have Boba shut down the ports anyway," she said. "Colburn's in the gleaning tonight. It'll take them a while to get here, but I can call them in too if you think we'll need backup." "Voss?" Din prompted. He was relying on Quinlan's powers here. Din certainly couldn't sense other life forms. Do you know how many others are up there with Jassa?" Din didn't know what the limit of Quinlan's ability to sense another being was like, how fine or precise it was. But it couldn't hurt to ask. Quinlan, for his part, grimaced. "Hard to say," he said. "At least 10, I think, but when there's more than a few all crowded together like this, and when they all feel anger, fear..." Quinlan broke off, shook his head. Din thought for a second, mind working quickly. Din and Fennec together were probably a match for 10 or so Hutt-affiliated thugs. It wasn't in Din's nature to boast, but he was a skilled fighter, and he knew it. Fennec was, too. She wouldn't have survived as long as she had if she wasn't. Din had sat up in the cantina for at least an hour. No one there, not even the two Deveronians, Tzivar and Big Blue, had struck him as particularly skilled or dangerous. But no one collected my blaster at the door. Everyone who's up there with Jassa is armed. And I don't have my armor. Din's usual strategy in a fight like this, a fight against an enemy in a fortified position, an enemy who outnumbered Din, was to charge in Beskar first and draw off as many shots as he could away from his allies. Din would play the target, and his partners, usually Cara Dune, but Fennec had played the part a few times now, would pick off the enemies one by one. That's not gonna work this time. Din had been shot before. Every now and then, over the years, a target had gotten lucky, had aimed for a gap in his armor and actually hit it, searing through Din's kuta to get to flesh and bone. It was never pleasant, but when he had his armor on, getting shot was rare and almost never fatal. Without his armor. But even though I don't have my armor, we have a Jedi with us. Voss wanted Jassa, too, to find out where she'd been selling for sensitive kids. He'd said as much. That's got to count for something, Din thought. Call Colburn in, Din said, but tell him to stay outside, run interference in case Jassa called in reinforcements. Gellis Place isn't big. We don't need to crowd it with our people. The three of us can handle this. Fennec eyed Din for a moment, probably weighing his idea against her own observations, but then she nodded. She brought a hand up to her helmet again. I'll call it in, she said. She turned her body away a little and started speaking, low and urgent. Din looked at Voss. Are you all right? Din asked him quietly. He didn't like the blood on Quinlan's face or how hard it had been to get him back on his feet. Voss grimaced. I've had worse, he said. He looked Din up and down. He had kind eyes. They were dark, like Din's own eyes, and watchful, edged with a lifetime of fighting and running. But Voss mostly looked kind, gentle, like the meditation gardens on Yavin 4. Overgrown and a little wild, but still peaceful. You? I don't know what took us out. Stun grenade? I tried to block it, but... Din grimaced right back. This crew has a habit of pairing their explosives with a concussion charge, Din said. I've been knocked down by them a few times already. A concussion charge? Quinlan raised an alarmed eyebrow. And you're still in one piece? Usually I'm in my armor, Din admitted. This time... He trailed off, then waved a hand. You blocked most of it, I think, with your Jedi powers. The Force, Quinlan said. He was watching Din intently now. Din didn't know what Quinlan was looking for, and he didn't care for the scrutiny, but there wasn't much Din could do about it. Din's skin prickled anyway. He wasn't sure what it was, but it felt... odd. Other beings looking Din full in the face usually made him feel strange, unless it was Boba looking. Made Din feel prickly and exposed, stripped raw, but... this. Din could feel Voss's eyes on him like cool fingers touching the side of his face. Could feel something lapping at the edges of his thoughts like warm, dark water. Like a Kashyyyki lake. Depthless, but shining. Like each of Quinlan's thoughts was a piece of coral or a darting micto fish, glittering in the dark like a star. That sense of other, of Quinlan Voss, grew and grew until... Stop, Din snapped, leaning away from the Jedi. Quinlan blinked. He hadn't moved, hadn't even lifted a hand, reached out to Din, done anything at all. But the strange feeling in Din's head faded. The cool, imaginary fingers left the side of his face. Forgive me, Quinlan said, and he at least sounded sincere. You're injured, that's all I can help. But it might, or apparently it does, feel strange. Injured, said Din warily. Quinlan tapped the side of his own temple, indicating a concussion. Not seriously, Voss said, but I can sense it. You took a hit to your head. You're holding up well. I've had a lot of practice, Din muttered. Voss's lips twitched into a smile. But if we're going to be fighting, I'd like to help, said Quinlan. If I can. I am sorry, I should have asked. I didn't realize that you would be able to sense me doing it. Do people usually not? Din asked, still wary. Voss shook his head. Not usually, he said, but I took a hit too, so I'm not at my best. I'm clumsier than normal. And you, well. Voss smiled again. He looked genuine, sincere. Looked like he really did just want to help Din out. But Din was still uneasy. If all Jedi go around sticking their hands into other beings' heads, no wonder ancient Mandalorians decided that the Jedi were their enemy, Din thought. But if Quinlan was telling the truth and Din was hurt, he certainly felt sore enough to have a concussion, a pain throbbing behind his eye in time with his heart, then Din should just get over his wariness and let Voss help. We're going to be fighting. Fennec's backup will take a few minutes to get here. I need to be able to stand on my own. Fine, Din muttered, locking his body in place. If you can help, that's fine. Thank you, said Quinlan, still sincere. I'll need you to relax, Mandalorian. It's harder when you fight me. Din wasn't sure he'd be able to relax. Quinlan was asking permission to poke around in Din's head, to reach out through the Force and touch him there, in his heart, in his mind. No one should be able to do that. Boba couldn't even do that, and Din had trusted Boba with just about everything else. Just relax, Voss repeated, and he did reach out with his hand this time, setting his fingertips, which were just as cool as Din imagined them to be, against Din's forehead. That wave of warm, dark water rose up and closed over Din's head. He wasn't standing on the shore now, waves pushing at him like a stranger raising a hand in greeting. He was in it, surrounded by it, and all of it was Quinlan Voss. Din's instinctive reaction was to panic, to pull himself away, scramble out of the water. The feeling of being submerged in another person, surrounded by their otherness, was awful, strange. Something that felt warm and faintly amused pressed against Din's thoughts. Not hard enough to break through, which was good, Din was already half panicked, but hard enough to be felt and understood. It wasn't a feeling that translated to words. Din was grateful for that. He didn't know if he'd be able to hold his nerve if Voss started speaking in between Din's ears. But it was a sensation, and it was very clear. Be easy. The sensation was peaceful, soothing, amused, impressed, friendly. Another wave washed over Din and pressed a tangle of emotions at him. Friend, peace, calm, heal, easing hurt, gentle touch, friend, Busha. Din didn't know if that word, Busha, had come from him or if it had come from Quinlan, but he understood the sentiment. It floated between them, bobbing along on a gentle current. Quinlan wasn't going to hurt Din, even though standing still, letting this happen, was harder even than standing still and letting Boba lick over Din's shoulders with a flogger. Another wave, and the headache behind Din's right eye began to fade. It wasn't like slapping a Bacta patch over an injury. Bacta numbed and cooled, deadened nerves to sensation so that they could heal. Voss wasn't taking any of Din's pain away, but he was soothing it, mending it, maybe. Din couldn't be sure. Din wasn't sure how long he stood there, either, letting Quinlan ease his hurts. It couldn't have been more than a minute or two. They were on a deadline, after all. But with each wave of gentle sensation, Din's head got clearer, his mind sharper, and it was easier to relax and let Voss do what he needed to. Still strange, still on the edge of overwhelming, but Din could endure it. He did endure it. Finally, Voss pulled away. The waves and the lake of his presence, all of the light inside of it, retreated, leaving Din once again alone, he hoped, in his own mind. "Well?" Quinlan prompted. He had a strange expression on his face, one Din didn't really understand. "Better?" "Hurts less, anyway," Din said, rubbing his forehead where Voss had touched him. "That was... weird." "It was," Voss muttered. He looked almost surprised now that Din really studied him. Din frowned. "It was weird for you, too, but you're a Jedi, aren't you? Don't you do this sort of thing?" Voss gave Din the ghost of a smile. "Now is not the time," he said, which was a maddening non-answer. Din scowled at him, prepared to push, but the Jedi held up a hand. He at least had the decency to look apologetic. "But later, yes, if you want to talk about the finer details of Jedi Force healing, I'll tell you." Din eyed him, still unsettled, but Quinlan was right. Now was not the time to talk about the Jedi, who could read minds and conjure up invisible shields and track a being without even needing to see them. "Bad news," Fennec interjected, returning to the conversation. "Comms are down on all frequencies. I couldn't get through to Boba." Din swore softly. "All frequencies?" That was a major disruption. He hadn't thought that Jossa had the pull or the equipment to pull that kind of thing off. Moving slaves was one thing, but the technology needed to disrupt all communication frequencies was expensive and noticeable. Din would have thought that Fennec, or at least one of her spies, would have caught that kind of hardware. "I don't think it's a disruption on the frequency level," said Fennec. She pointed down at Din's boot, where his inert fob was still wedged between his smallest toe and the stiff material of his boot itself. "I think Jossa's got a jammer down here. Something that's blocking signals from getting out or in without disrupting above-ground frequencies." "So, what now?" Din asked. "The three of us can still take her." He was sure that they could. Quinlan was a Jedi like Luke Skywalker, who had destroyed an entire battalion of Dark Troopers by himself. Fennec and Din had fought their way through the light cruiser in the first place. Compared to that, this was nothing. A slaver's den. That was all. "We're going to have to," said Fennec grimly. "It's that or run, and I don't think either of you..." She looked between Din and Quinlan, whose mouth was set in a hard line. "Want to do that?" "I don't." It went against Din's nature to let a target, prey, escape like this, without fighting for it. It was one thing to be outsmarted during a hunt, but to just walk away. "No," Din thought. "That is not the way." "Thought so," said Fennec. She didn't sound too irritated about it. Fennec had, like Din, decided that she'd do this or die trying. Din could see it in the way she stood. "I'll try again when we get up the stairs, maybe the disruption's just down here, to prevent any of Jess's captives from getting a distress call out. This Slimo still in the building, Jedi?" Quinlan turned away from Din, lidding his eyes again, and nodded after a moment. "She's here," he said. "Then let's go," said Fennec, taking charge. It was easy to let her. Din nodded and moved so that he was braced off her right side, ready to go. He thought briefly about drawing his blaster, but decided against it. Gela's place was small, and the darksaber would make more of a point anyway. "Fill me in," said Fennec, starting off towards the mouth of the cave. "Who else can I expect?" "There's at least one other Weequay on Jess's crew," Din said. "Ono. Looks a lot like that one back there." By unspoken agreement, all three of them left Iqbo and Hyarid where they'd fallen. There was no point in dragging along dead weight, not when Fennec could call in and have them removed later. Fennec nodded. "Anyone else that you know of?" Din hesitated. He wasn't sure. Iqbo and Ono had clearly been part of Joss's crew, or at least Iqbo had been if he'd come down here with Hyarid. But Din didn't know about the rest of the Cantina's patrons. Zivar, he's just a mechanic, Din thought. The Red Deveronian had been friendly and genuine. And Evie, she'd won that card game Hyrid was trying to rig in Ikbo's favor. But does that mean that she's not part of the crew, or that she is and just likes to cark around with her crewmates? What about Big Blue, the Thorian Joss had been yelling at? Haska? The cantina had been full of people. How many of them had been at Gela's because they were part of Joss's crew, and how many had just come for a drink or a game of cards? It's hard to say, Din confessed, irritated with himself. They were moving through the tunnel now, the walls close and cold. He should have paid more attention, should have done his best to sort out the Akle from the air shrimp. But it was too late now. Haska, the other bartender, he probably knows what's going on here, even if he's not involved. Human man, blonde hair, about my age. Din saw Fennec nod again, committing the description to memory. She's got a Deveronian on her crew, Quinlan put in. Big blue-skinned fellow with a nasty temper, he does a lot of the moving for her. Big Blue. Weekwe, bartender, big Karkoff Deveronian, Fennec repeated. She'd stowed her knife away and drawn her MK2 instead. Anyone else? Anyone who starts shooting, Quinlan suggested, tone wry. Joss's pilot is a Duros, female, no name. I'd love it if we grabbed her without killing her too, but I doubt she'll be here. I haven't seen her run with the regular crew. Fennec snorted. Helpful, Jedi. We can take four, at least. You got any kind of weapon? Voss smiled. I do, he said. Use it, then, said Fennec. She jerked her chin upwards. They were nearly at the stairs. We better do this fast. Quietly, too, if we can. I don't want to draw too much attention. Folks in the business district get nervous when our sort runs an op here. Our sort, Din thought. He nodded. Quick and quiet, he said. We need Joss alive, Fennec. I'm pretty sure she's the one who's been helping Gorga, but we still need to know what she knows and how she knows it. Then we'll take her alive, Fennec said. Let's go, before they get tired of waiting and come for us instead. Din looked at Quinlan, who nodded. His expression was blank and peaceful. Voss was ready. There was little need to say anything else. Din and Fennec knew what they needed to do. Din wasn't sure what Quinlan would do. Luke Skywalker had been quick enough to dismantle the Dark Troopers, but had expressed hesitation over the idea of killing anyone. But Din trusted that Voss would at least help Din and Fennec out. Guard the backs, maybe. He had a goal here, too. He needed to find out where Jossa had sent her last shipment of slaves, because that shipment had included a Force-sensitive child. Din's stomach burned with anger. It was better at focusing him than any mantra, any sense of duty. That could have been my kid, Din thought, leaning on that anger. It was good, clarifying. It helped him shift back into the mindset of the hunter. Din had a job to do. He needed to take Jossa alive. Everyone else. Fennec reached the bottom stair. Hyrid and Ikbo had left the door ajar when they'd come down, letting more light in at the end of the tunnel-like hallway. It illuminated Din and his companions as they began to climb. Fennec went first, blaster drawn. Din followed, hot on her heels, the hilt of the darksaber in his hand, and Quinlan right behind him. Fennec cleared the top stair, stepped into the hallway, and swung her rifle out in the direction of Gela's main room. Clear, she said. She moved up a little to let Din in beside her. The hallway was too narrow for all three to fit shoulder to shoulder. Din edged his way past Fennec, taking point, and looked down the hall. The music had stopped. A few chairs were overturned. A deck of sabacc cards had been tossed aside, spilling across the floor. There were overturned drinks and abandoned plates of food. There was no one in Din's immediate line of sight. Jaren, Fennec began, voice low, but Din shook his head. Let me go first, he murmured. Din still had the darksaber in his hand. And he had an idea. Just back me up, okay? Voss? She's on this level, Quinlan murmured. Ahead of us, I can sense her. That was good, at least. Din knew the layout of Gela's place. He hadn't been upstairs, so he didn't know where Jossa could hide or dig in on that floor. But if she was on this floor, and if she was still ahead of Din... She'll be behind the bar, Din thought. There's cover there. A good angle to draw down on whoever comes out from this hallway. Judging by the emptiness in front of Din, the overturned chairs, the scattered cards, most of the cantina's ordinary patrons had, hopefully, heard the stun grenade go off and made a run for it. With any luck... No, Din thought, stopping himself. Luck didn't have any place here. Luck didn't matter. Getting hold of Jassa mattered. Everything else was just a distraction. Focus, Mandalorian. It wasn't right, the phrase. The words Din had said to himself 1,000 times over the years. But it worked. Cold, clear focus filled him. His grip on the darksaber didn't waver. Fennec studied Din for a split second, then nodded. I've got your back, she said. Jassa, Din knew, was going to shoot Din as soon as he walked into that room. She'd realized that he wasn't Hyrat or Ikbo, and she'd shoot him. Din didn't have any armor. His borrowed smuggler's clothes wouldn't stop a plasma bolt. But, Din thought, studying the dented brass discs that Geeta's sister had hung on the wall of her cantina to represent Ryloth's moons, to remind Gela of a home she'd never seen. I don't need to stop a plasma bolt. Just deflect it a little, long enough to surprise Jassa, to get the upper hand. Quietly, not that it mattered much, Din pried one of the discs off the wall. Brass was heavy, but Beskar was heavier, so Din managed it without too much trouble, hefting the disc up by a hook on its back. He chose one of the smaller discs. It was maybe 2 feet in diameter, 1 inch thick, and stamped with Rillish runes around its edge, symbols for sand and scorching suns and white mountains. The disc had been decorated to represent Angari, a desert moon. Din had never been there. He'd only ever been to Ryloth proper. But he knew that it was a harsh, inhospitable place. The disc was large enough to protect most of Din's torso. It was a little awkward to hold, but if Din's idea worked, he wouldn't need to hold it for long. Behind me, Din said softly. Both Fennec and Quinlan nodded. Din lifted the disc up a bit and went to the end of the hall. He didn't bother trying to disguise the sound of his footsteps. He'd lost the element of surprise when Hyrat and Ikbo had thrown that grenade. Ikbo? Din heard Jassa call. Her voice came from the right of the open doorway. Behind the bar, Din thought, just like I thought. Hyrat? Jassa tried again. You boys make it out okay? No, said Din, and stepped into the cantina's main room. He took in several details all at once. Most of the cantina's patrons had left. The front door was open, letting the breeze in to stir up the abandoned sabacc cards, the forgotten jackets and scarves. Sand drifted across the cantina's threshold. Those who'd left had left in a hurry. But not everyone made it out, Din saw. Savar was kneeling in front of the bar, a blaster pressed to his forehead. Evie was slumped over on the floor, unmoving. She'd drawn a blaster, but had died before she'd fired it. Haska, the bartender, was pressed against the far wall, eyes wide, and a pair of Twi'leks were huddled in a corner, also at blaster point. Jassa was behind the bar, and she wasn't alone. Ono had leveled the blaster at Savar's head, and Big Blue had cornered the Twi'leks. One human, a middle-aged woman with short shorn hair, and another Weequay, had emerged from somewhere else in the cantina and were flanking Jassa on either side. Jassa stared at Din for a fraction of a second, her yellow Zygerian eyes very wide. And then she snarled, "Shoot him!" and fired. The woman and the Weequay did the same. Din raised the brass disc to shield his face and his chest, the metal growing hot in his hand as it took a series of blaster bolts, each one hissing and sizzling, shrieking as they ricocheted off the metal. It wouldn't hold, not like Beskar. Plasma melted most metals, which was part of what made Beskar special. Beskar could only be heated by a special forge or prolonged contact with plasma. A lightsaber pressed against a cuirass would eventually melt the cuirass, but a few blaster bolts was nothing to Beskar. The brass didn't hold up for longer than 1 or 2 seconds. Din hissed, skin starting to sizzle, but he'd only needed 1 or 2 seconds to rush the nearest body anyway. Din charged Ono, brass disc protecting him from most of the blaster fire, and body-checked Ono with the heated metal. Ono wailed. Weequay's skin was tough and leathery, harder to burn than a human's, but the brass disc had taken 10 or 15 bolts by the time Din made it to Anu. It was hot, parts of its edge already melted to slag, and Din slammed it into Anu with all of the force he could muster. Anu went skidding backwards, smoking and howling. Jassa shouted something, but Din didn't hear it. The air was hot and charged, bolts screaming in every direction. Din whipped what was left of the brass disc in Jassa's direction and skipped backwards, raising the other half of his wild idea and flicking its ignition switch. The darksaber sang as it snapped to life, the edge of its plasma blade crackled. Kirk, Din had time to think, as Jassa and her people reacted to the chaos Din had sown among them. I hope I paid enough attention to Kenobi's lessons to pull this off. The lightsaber forms Din had practiced with the most were Shien, the novice's form. Makashi, because its clean, graceful movements were close enough to Parkad for Din to lean on that experience when practicing. And Anakin Skywalker's Jem So, because Din liked the power and the forward motion of it. The other forms, athletic Ataru, gliding Suresu, force-heavy Niman, Din had mostly left alone, because Din wasn't a Jedi. He couldn't use the Force to help him make gravity-defying leaps or whirlwind strikes. But Kenobi had said in his recording that his form was a defensive one, meant for blocking, for deflecting. And that was what Din wanted here. Gallus Place was close and small, almost cramped. Even with most of the cantina's patrons gone, there were plenty of bodies in here. Using an aggressive form like Skywalker's, with its broad strokes and wide swings, ran the risk of collateral damage. What Din needed here was precision. Control. I really hope that I paid enough attention, Din thought. And then he didn't have time to think at all. He hadn't hit Jassa when he'd thrown the brass disc. He had grazed the human woman. She was climbing back to her feet, blood running down her face. And the other Weequay had half turned to help her, which meant that Jassa was the only one facing Din. Anu was still down, wailing. Big Blue was watching Din, but he still had his blaster on the Twi'leks, like he wasn't sure what he should do. Jassa's face was twisted into a snarl of rage, her sharp teeth flashing. She took aim, and she fired. Muscle memory took over. Din brought the darksaber up into a high guard, twisted the blade, and sent the blaster bolt singing back. Jassa shrieked, ducking out of the way. Her Weequay companion reacted, firing wildly at Din. But Din had watched Kenobi for hours, because he hadn't yet figured out a way to skip the parts of the holocron that he didn't want to watch. If Din wanted to watch Skywalker demonstrate Form 5, he had to watch all four previous forms. He'd seen Kenobi do this 50 times by now. Din stepped neatly to one side, the darksaber moving almost on its own, so familiar in Din's hand that it felt almost alive. He deflected another bolt, sidestepped a third, was 2 feet away and still moving from a fourth. It wasn't easy, exactly, because Din was aware the entire time that the darksaber was dangerous to him, too. He knew that if he misstepped, twisted the blade too far, missed a step in Kenobi's kata, that he could hurt himself just as badly as he could hurt Jassa or her thugs. But it was comfortable, practiced. Din was in control of his body and of the blade. As he slid easily through the hail of blaster fire, Fennec and Quinlan both burst into the room. Jassa didn't take her eyes off Din, but her Weequay companion did, and died for it. Fennec shot him through the eye. He collapsed in a smoking heap. Quinlan and Fennec both paused a little at the sight of the darksaber, but got over it quickly enough. Quinlan had a lightsaber too, burning in his hand. It was pale green, almost yellow, and Quinlan moved like it was an extension of his arm, like he'd been wielding it for his entire life. Big Blue, seeing two more attackers burst into the cantina's main room, decided that guarding his hostages wasn't the best use of his time, and finally swung around, firing at Quinlan. The two Twi'leks he'd had at blaster point broke and ran. Din let them go. He wanted to shout a warning at Voss, but couldn't afford to break his own concentration. The darksaber was singing. The Weequay was down, but Jassa was coming back up, blaster raised, and the human woman was firing too. The next several seconds played out in a haze of smoke and burning plasma. Anu tried to get up off the floor, smoking and wheezing, but Voss put a stop to that on his way to confront Big Blue. Fennec fired at the human woman, but had to turn because there was a great commotion behind them coming from the front door, and even more bolts filled the air. Jassa kept firing straight at Din, screaming with rage, emptying her cartridge at him as he advanced. Din just kept moving. Kenobi's katas were short and graceful. The darksaber hummed as it turned Jassa's bolts aside, ringing in Din's hand each time it was struck. He made it to the bar, went over it in a smooth motion, the darksaber blurring as he brought it down from a guard, and... Jassa grabbed the human woman by the arm, snarling fiercely, and threw her in Din's path. Din faltered for a moment, thrown off, twisting his hand a little so the darksaber didn't take the woman's head off. Jassa spat a curse at him, yellow eyes flashing, and bolted. Din recovered faster than the human woman. The woman tried to raise her blaster, and Din took her hand off at the wrist, the darksaber barely even shivering as it seared through muscle and bone. The hand, blaster still clutched in it, fell to the ground with a clatter. The woman screamed and snatched her wrist to her chest. She backed up, but there wasn't anywhere for her to go. Joss had thrown herself through the door behind the bar, presumably aimed for the kitchen, and had knocked over a pile of crates on her way. Shards of broken glass and the sharp sting of Bogonaga were everywhere. Din brought the darksaber up to the woman's throat, close enough that it singed her skin. She stared at him with wild eyes. "You're finished," said Din firmly. "Give up." The woman stared at him. "Jedi scum," she spat. "I'd rather die, you—" Din didn't have time for this. He rolled his eyes, reversed his grip, and hit the woman in the temple with the darksaber's hilt. Very hard. She hit the floor like a sack of spice. The stump where her hand had been was still smoking. Din left her where she'd fallen and spared a second to check on Fennec and Voss before he went after Jassa. If she got away, none of this mattered. Fortunately, even through the haze of smoke and the flashes of blaster fire, it looked like Quinlan and Fennec had Gela's place well in hand. Fennec had crossed the room, gone to the front door, and was bludgeoning Jassa's reinforcements, a third Zygerian and a spindly female Duros, with the end of her MK2. Quinlan was still dealing with Big Blue, but Din could see that it wouldn't take long. Blue was scorched and smoking in half a dozen places, covered in precise straight burns that could only have been left by Voss's whirling lightsaber, and was starting to stagger. He'd be on the ground within another few seconds. "They can handle this," Din thought.
"Fennec," Din shouted. "I'm going after Jassa."
She didn't reply or even make an indication that she'd heard him, but Din was out of time. Every second he wasted here was another second that Jassa had to get away. "She's not getting away," Din thought fiercely. He deactivated the darksaber, clipped it to his hip, and went through the kitchens. He caught a flash of blue fur at the far end, Jassa wrestling with the door, wrenching it open and bolting into the darkness beyond it. Din swore again, spitting in Mandoa and Hadiz, and tore after her. The kitchen was cramped and filthy. Whatever care Jassa'd put into Gela's front room, all of the effort she'd put in to pass the place off as a legitimate cantina, apparently ended at the kitchen door. Din skidded through broken glass and spilled Bogonaga, caught the back of the door before it closed entirely, and saw that Gela's opened up into a narrow alley, piled high with heaps of trash. Jassa had gone to the left. She was fast. Din saw her round left again, breaking for the open street, for the shipyard across the street if Din had to guess, and gave chase. He did not, as a generality, get into chases like this. Chases could get messy, could go bad more easily than a fight. Usually Din's reputation was enough to stop a target from running, or Din had had enough time to box his quarry in. But tonight he was 40 pounds lighter than usual and lit up from the inside with cold, seething fury. So this time, Din did give chase. He took off after Jassa, jumping over a wilted box of empty bottles she'd thrown in his path and turning so sharply down another alley that he had to grab the edge of the next building to pull himself into the turn. His hand burned faintly, skin stinging, but the pain was small and quickly lost in the thrill of the chase, the hunt. Din had never really thought about what a Vornskur or an Anuba or a Lothwolf felt when their prey broke from cover and ran. And he'd never have to think about it. When his eyes found Jassa sprinting 20 or 30 feet ahead across the open street, bolting straight for the shipyards and the docks and the end of Mos Eisley's business district, Din knew. His blood sang. "No," he thought, giving in to the chase. "You're not getting away. Not this time." Din raced after her, leaving the alley, crossing the street. He wasn't alone out here. It wasn't that late, and in Mos Eisley, most cantinas were open until dawn. There were all sorts of other beings out, from tired-looking mechanics coming off the late shift to well-off townsfolk out for the night. Some had probably been drawn in by the noise coming out of Gela's place. Din was vaguely aware of screaming and shouting, more blaster fire. He put it out of his head. Fennec and Quinlan would be fine, or they wouldn't be. Din was going to catch Jassa. The surety of that burned through him. It had its own kind of fierce joy, maybe, of rightness. This was what Din did. He was a hunter. Prey sometimes, but a hunter all of the time. And he had Jassa in his sights. To the denizens of Mos Eisley's credit, they saw Jassa tearing off away from blaster fire, and Din following behind her, teeth bared, eyes wild, and got out of the way. Din ignored them, too. He was gaining on Jassa. Jassa was at a disadvantage. She had to find her ship in the dark, panicked, and get into it before Din could catch her. Din didn't have to find her ship, he just had to follow Jassa. And Zygerians were uncommon on Tatooine. She wasn't a grease-stained Rodian or a scruffy human who could fade into a crowd. She stood out.
"Whatever Fett's paying you, I'll pay you double, Jedi!"
Jassa screamed. She undermined her offer by twisting around to fire a few more shots off at Din, both of which went wild. Din didn't care. He couldn't be bought. He gained another 2 or 3 feet on Jassa, then another 2 or 3 more. Less than 20 feet separated them now. Other beings all around them were shrieking and diving out of the way. Din saw 2 big, burly Gamorreans, both wearing nothing but chest harnesses and fur loincloths, turn and start to move towards the source of the commotion.
"Triple!"
Jassa shrieked. Mos Eisley's spaceport wasn't neat, orderly, or well laid out. It had grown like most of the city had grown, in fits and starts, bays and alleys and shops and towers sprouting up like puntin grass after a hard rain. Nonsensical and nearly impossible to navigate. Especially in the dark. Especially with a Mandalorian on one's tail. Jassa gave a wordless howl of frustration and dove down a narrow, twisting alley that must have been made when a mechanic shop had been built next to a cruiser-class landing pad. Din heard a claw shriek as she pulled herself around a corner. The alley was so narrow, Din had trouble getting his shoulders through it, but he was moving too fast to care. 10 feet, now. The alley opened into another bay, this one smaller, fit for freighters or small corvettes. There was a ship at the far end of it. Omicron class, a hunter-killer. Jassa made straight for it. She turned to fire another shot off at Din, but her charge pack was finally empty. She screamed and tossed the blaster at him instead. Din ducked. 8 feet. 7. 5. Then 3. Then Din was close enough that when he reached, his fingers touched the fluttering edges of Josh's shirt. Din used all of his forward momentum to lunge, shoving off as hard as he could, and tackle Jassa around the waist. He didn't have the impact that he would have had in his armor, but he was moving fast enough that it really didn't matter. Jassa pitched forward and slammed into the ground hard enough that Din's teeth rattled. He thought he heard something in her chest crack. A broken rib or two didn't stop Jassa from yowling like a wounded lothcat, though. She kicked, clawed feet scraping the ground, spitting sparks, and writhed in Din's arms. She managed to half-twist and slashed him across the face with a paw. Pain flared, and Din had to blink blood out of his eyes. But he had a good enough grip on her that when Jassa reared back to slash at him again, Din punched her square in the jaw. The blow didn't knock her out, but it did stun her. Jassa slumped to the floor of the Durcrete Bay. Her nose was bleeding. Somewhere during her panicked flight, she'd picked up a gash on one cheek, which also bled sluggishly. She didn't put up any more of a fight when Din relaxed his grip on her. She just lay where she'd fallen, eyes wide and dazed. Din, for his part, sat back on his heels and wiped blood out of his eyes. He felt several cuts stinging on his face and resisted the urge to groan. Bobo wouldn't be very happy to see what Din had been up to. But, Din thought, looking down at Jassa, I got her, so he'll get over it. Probably. Din stood up. He felt eyes on the back of his neck, on his face, on Jassa. The crowd that had been so quick to get out of Din's way was pressing in now that the blaster fire had stopped. Din let them look. I am not, he said, looking at Jassa, even as he pitched his voice loud enough to be heard over the anxious murmur of the crowd. A karking Jedi. Then he put an end to any plans of escaping Jossa might have still been harboring by bringing his boot to the side of her head. She finally slumped completely to the ground, stone unconscious. Din stood over her for a moment, panting. He didn't think he'd ever run so fast in his life. His heart was beating wildly. His body was starting to register the punishment Din had heaped onto it tonight. Din swung his gaze around to the gathering crowd. He didn't have to guess at what he looked like. He felt the blood dripping down his face. His clothes were singed, hair wild. To most of these people, business beings, the ordinary people who kept Mos Eisley running no matter who ruled from the palace, Din probably looked like a nightmare. "This is Boba Fett's business," Din declared before anyone could step forward and demand to know what Din was doing. Even the two Gamorreans, Bay Guards most likely, stopped at that. "Clear out. The district's closed for the night." Din absolutely did not have the authority to do something like that. Fennec might have, because she was Boba's right hand, but Din didn't have a formal position in Boba's outfit, and he wasn't standing here as a Mandalorian, as Boba Fett's Mandalorian anyway. But despite all of that, the crowd dispersed almost immediately. Some beings even bowed, bobbing their heads nervously like Din spoke with Boba's voice, like Boba was standing just off to the side, looming in the shadows. He wasn't, Din checked surreptitiously, once he was sure that no one would give him grief over tackling a woman in a public landing bay. Boba wasn't standing there watching Din make an idiot out of himself, so Din bent and went through Joss's pockets, tossing away anything that could be used as a weapon. He'd have to get her back to the cantina. Din wasn't sure that Fennec had seen him leave. Jossa had a fair bit on her. Another small snub-nosed blaster, four knives, a wicked little electrical device that most likely delivered a shock when pressed. Din dug a small data pad out of one of her pockets, along with a handful of hot coins, a data chip, and three identicards. One used the name Jossa and listed her family name as Duquan, but the second card read Faye Grasau, and the third read, in stark little letters, Gela Anu. Din studied the cards for a moment, anger bubbling up in his chest again, breaking through the studied calm of Kenobi's lightsaber form or the clear, bright focus of a Baroia, the wild thrill of the hunt. She kept Gela's name, Din thought. Jossa had kept it, used it, probably, to pass herself off as a legitimate business being while selling other sentience. While selling Gela herself out of the basement. Anger buzzed in Din's mouth. Din nodded to himself, tucked the cards into one of his borrowed vests in her pockets, then hauled Joss's limp body over his shoulder and made his way back across the shipyard. Din's adrenaline faded faster than he would have liked. He'd only made it 20 or 30 steps before the weight across his shoulders began to drag at him, before his knees began to protest, his various little injuries registering their complaints. The cuts across his face stopped bleeding quickly, more scratches than true cuts, but throbbed. His palm hurt where he'd skinned it, rounding that corner. His ribs hurt from his earlier fall in that cave underneath the cantina. But we got Jossa, Din thought. No matter what happened, no matter if Jossa really was Gorga's accomplice, Din knew that she'd never sell another Force-sensitive kid, another Twi'lek just trying to make a living, like a piece of meat again. That's good, Din thought firmly. Boba would agree, too. Even if Jossa wasn't the spy, she was breaking Boba's law. Boba could be merciful when the mood struck him, but he wouldn't be merciful over this. I'll have to tell Geeta, Din thought, trudging across the shipyard. He was too old for wild chases through the city. Every muscle in his body protested as he made his way across the landing bay, following the main crooked street through this part of Mos Eisley instead of the back alleys Joss had led him through. Din wished that he had more for Geeta. She hadn't asked him to do anything, really. Had just done what she'd promised, looked for any hut ties that Din and Fennec might have missed and brought them to Din's attention. Her sister was long gone. Dead or lost along the Sorrowland somewhere. Geeta, Din knew, was practical. She hadn't brought Din to Gela's place because she'd hoped that Din would find her sister, or would somehow find out what had happened to her. But I can tell her anyway. No one stopped Din as he carried Jossa from the shipyards to Gela's place. The street was mostly deserted now, though Din did pull up short when he caught sight of the cantina again. Its pretty facade, its pink walls, and its neat little beds of flowers were gone. The building was scored with blaster fire, smoke billowed from its windows. And Boba's guards were at the front door. Din recognized Colburn, who had taken one side of the front door, while a grim-faced Twi'lek man with red skin and scarred leku guarded the other. Fennec must have reached them, Din thought. They'd gotten to Gela's faster than he'd imagined. Maybe Colburn and his crew hadn't been as far away as Fennec had thought. That was good in any case. Din didn't have any binders or a carbonite rig on him, and Jossa wouldn't stay unconscious forever. Din trudged across the street, relieved to see familiar faces, but drew up short when Colburn, not an ounce of recognition in his usually friendly face, leveled a Westar 34 at Din's forehead. "Whoa," Din said, drawing up short. He held out a hand. "Easy, Colburn." "Cantina's closed," Colburn said, his tone flat. "Fett's business." "I'm on Fett's business," Din said, startled. "He's never seen me out of my armor," Din realized. Din didn't always wear his helmet in the palace these days, but when he was outside of the palace, going around on Boba's business, he was always fully armored. Colburn knows the Mandalorian. He doesn't know me. Colburn cocked his blaster. "Dunno about that," Colburn observed. He looked Din up and down. Din's borrowed outfit, already old and worn, was filthy now. Damp with sweat and blood, torn in a few new places, smeared with smoke and dirt. "You don't look like one of ours." "I..." Din started, still thrown, mind working to try and come up with something to say. He was saved for a second time that night by Fennec Shand, who stuck her head out of the front door, looked Din up and down, then hissed at Colburn. "Put the blaster down, you idiot, it's Mando." "Oh," said Colburn. To his credit, he did drop the blaster, staring at Din in shock. He actually flushed a little, which wasn't something that Din had imagined a man like Colburn could do. Sorry, boss, I just, didn't recognize you." "It's fine," said Din tiredly. "Get out of the street," Fennec snapped. Her eyes flickered over Joss's limp body and softened. "And good work." She stood aside and let Din cross the threshold into Gela's place again. The cantina was a wreck. Its walls were pocked and burned, murals ruined, chairs and tables broken, overturned. Din surveyed the destruction, then looked at Fennec, who grimaced. "Jossa called for backup," she said. Fennec gestured at a corner which was heaped with bodies. Most of them were dead. The weak way Fennec had shot through the eye, Evie, Big Blue, who'd ended up with a lightsaber burn across the throat, the third Zygerian, and Husk, the bartender, who'd apparently stopped cowering behind the bar at some point and had met the burning end of Quinlan's lightsaber. But a few were alive, stirring faintly. Someone, maybe Colburn or one of his crew, had found binders somewhere and slapped them on everyone who still lived. The human woman who'd lost her hand to the darksaber, Ono, burned and whimpering. Tsavar, who was so pale underneath his red skin that he looked almost pink. And the Duras, who'd come in as Din had chased Jossa through the kitchens. She must have been part of the reinforcements who'd come in for Jossa. Quinlan, singed and bleeding sluggishly from a cut over his eyebrow, but otherwise unhurt, was crouched over the Duras, a hand pressed to her forehead. His eyes were closed. "Colburn got here quickly," Din said, dumping Jossa on the floor. He rolled his shoulders out, biting back a groan. "Good call." "I didn't call him," Fennec said, tone sour. Din looked at her, surprised. She'd taken her helmet off at some point, propped it up on one of the few tables that was still standing. Her usually neat braid was starting to come loose, strands of black and purple hair drifting across her forehead, and she was smudged with smoke. She didn't look like she'd taken any injuries, though. That was good. "My fob went dark, too," Fennec said, "when I went in after you." Joss's crew knew what they were doing. They rigged some kind of frequency suppression device down there to keep any signal from getting out. "Boba wasn't watching your fob. I don't know if he knows you have one, actually. But he was watching mine, and he saw it go dark." Din winced. Yeah, said Fennec, still sour. We're definitely going to hear about it. The boss called Colburn in, and just about everyone in a 5-mile radius, which is great, to converge on my last known location and find out what happened. Now they're all here. Din winced. Not exactly a quiet op, he said, tone apologetic. Fennec snorted. No, she said, but this is Tatooine. Nothing goes the way it should. It's fine. Neither of us are dead, so Boba doesn't have to make Mos Eisley a pyre in our memory. You even got Jassa. I did, Din said, resisting the urge to kick the Zygerian woman again for all the trouble she caused. She make a run for the shipyards? She did, Din said. He paused. You should send someone over there. There's an Omicron-class hunter-killer at the end of one of the public bays. Jassa was running for it. The ships that attacked the palace were hunter-killers, Fennec observed. Good call.
Colburn, Palakwe.
She made for the door again. Din, too tired to heave Jassa up on his shoulders a second time, just grabbed one of her legs and hauled her over to where Voss was crouched by the Duros, his hand still on her forehead. Quinlan's eyes were still firmly closed. The air around him was charged, almost, electric and crackling with something that Din didn't understand. Din shied away, not wanting to brush up against the Force again. Jedi stuff, Din thought. He left Quinlan to it. He found a pair of binders and slapped them on Jassa, making sure they were secure, then made his way over to the bar, found one of the few unbroken bottles of Bogonaga hiding at the back of a shelf, and helped himself to a drink. Not much better than the taste of blood, Din thought, wincing. But he drank anyway, trying to get rid of the taste of blood and smoke and burned plasma. He wanted a sonic. No, he thought, almost longingly. I want a swim. Din wanted to go to the little artificial oasis underneath Jabba's old tower and float for a while in the warm water, letting it soothe away all of his hurts. Probably not on the table tonight, he thought. If Boba thought that Fennec had died, he was probably not in the mood for a relaxing swim. Din grimaced. Great, he thought. There was nothing for it, though. This whole operation was Din's idea. He'd been the one to push, to make Fennec come out here with him. If Boba needed to yell at someone, he could yell at Din. Din finished his bottle of Bogonaga and set it down with a decisive thump. His skin prickled. Someone was watching him. Din turned and found Sivar, the Deveronian, who was looking at Din with wide eyes.
You're a Jedi,
Sivar said, his eyes fixed on the hilt of the darksaber where it rested on Din's hip. Usually when Din wore it, he wore his cloak, too, and Din had gotten used to pulling his cloak over the darksaber. But smugglers didn't wear cloaks, so the darksaber was easy to see now, resting on Din's hip like it belonged there. Maybe it does, Din thought. It had certainly proved useful tonight. He sighed. I'm not a Jedi, he said.
There's no way you're a smuggler, Sivar argued, eyes wide. You disappeared, and then Ikbo and that other guy disappeared too, and there was an explosion. Was that you?
No, Din repeated. That wasn't me. What are you doing in binders, Sivar?
I didn't think so, Sivar said, more like he was talking to himself now. But it made Jassa panic, and she pulled a blaster on us and told us to leave or else, and...
And you decided to stay? Din said, wryly. This is Tatooine, Sivar. If someone pulls a blaster on you and tells you to leave, you should leave. Sivar snorted.
Yeah, I'm figuring that out, he said. Then he paused. Are you sure you're not a Jedi? And you...
Sivar craned his head around and got a good look at Fennec, who was coming back into the cantina, orders dispensed.
You're with Boba Fett, aren't you?
Why's he in binders? Din asked her. I'm pretty sure he's harmless. I am, said Fennec. Her tone was flat, inflectionless, but Din thought that she was almost amused. Not that I like to advertise that in this part of town. He's in binders because he's an idiot, Mando.
Mando, said Sivar, and was ignored.
He's harmless, Din said. He's just a merchant selling ship parts. Let him go.
Not until he's been vetted, Fennec said. Her jaw was set. A night in the palace should help him in the long run, Mando. Teach him the value of minding his own business.
Din sighed. Fennec wasn't wrong there. Shavar didn't have much sense, that was apparent. Maybe a night in the palace dungeons would help him learn a thing or two about knowing when to walk away. "Don't hurt him," he said.
"Mando?" Shavar repeated.
Fennec rolled her eyes. "No promises," she said, but the corner of her mouth turned up when she said it. She finally looked at Shavar, who blanched again. "As long as he doesn't give me any trouble." "You gonna give me any trouble, Shavar?" Shavar shut his mouth. Fennec smiled. "See," she said, "trainable at least." Din rubbed his forehead. His headache was back. "Come on," said Fennec, hooking a gentle hand underneath Din's elbow. "Colburn's crew will get these scugs loaded up. And you, Shavar." The Deveronian wisely kept his mouth shut. Fennec led Din a little ways away from the heap of bodies. Quinlan was still silent, doing whatever it was he was doing with the Duros. Fennec jerked her chin at him. "He came in handy," she murmured quietly. "And you're not half bad with that lightsaber you've got either, Jaren." Din grunted. "It's not a lightsaber," he said. Fennec raised an eyebrow. "Sure looks like one to me," she said. "What's the difference?" "Politics?" Din hazarded, too tired to be anything but blunt. He didn't know why the darksaber was the darksaber instead of a lightsaber. Why whoever had made it the way they had, to be so like a Jedi weapon, but still so different. It made Din's head hurt to think about it, and he was already sore enough. Fennec, bizarrely, smiled like Din had cracked a joke. "Fair," she said. She looked Din up and down. "How are you?" "Alive," Din muttered back. Fennec made a vague noise. She tilted her head at Shavar. "Sorry about that," she said. "I know you were trying to work undercover. I don't know if you'll be able to use your face again." Din shrugged tiredly. There was nothing to be done for it now. "Not much I can do about it," he said, scrubbing the back of his neck. He was tacky with sweat and gritty with smoke. "If I've got an Imperial bounty out on me, it's not a good idea to go without my armor on anyway." Fennec's eyes softened. "I'll look into that," she promised. Din just shrugged again. He wasn't sure what she could do about it either. "I've got a target on my back even without my armor on," he thought. It didn't bother Din as much as he would have thought. He hated that the Empire knew what he looked like, but... "It was a choice I made months ago," Din thought. He had chosen to show his face on Morak, and Din had defended that choice so many times now. To himself, to Paz, to Boba, that Din knew it had been the right one. It had had unforeseen consequences, but... "But that doesn't mean that I was wrong," Din thought. Taking his helmet off, letting that terminal scan his face, had helped Din save his son. Din could live with the rest of it. "Let's deal with all of this first," Din said, waving a hand at the pile of bodies behind him. "You call Boba and let him know you're not dead?" "Yes," Fennec said, rolling her eyes. "What'd he say?" "Fett out," Fennec said, in a passable impression of Boba at his sharpest. Din winced, but Fennec was unbothered. "You mention me?" Din asked, apprehensive now. If Boba was that short with Fennec, who Boba openly adored, Din was dreading what Boba would say to him. "I said you had the situation handled," Fennec assured Din, still smiling. "Relax, Mando. You know Boba's got more snarl than sting, right?" "He doesn't regularly flog you," Din thought, but kept that thought to himself. Din had been chewed out by an older warrior a time or two. He could handle Boba. Boba wasn't... He wouldn't be wrong to chew Din out either. Din had... Well... The idea behind tonight was sound, Din thought. There were just... unseen factors. Din had had no way of knowing that the Empire had put a bounty out on the nameless man who'd been involved in the destruction of the base on Morak. He hadn't known that a Jedi would be running an op at the same time. Din had just been unlucky, that was all. Not too stupid, I don't think. If Din had really wanted to be an idiot, he could have tried to run this on his own and not brought Fennec in at all. I would have deserved a flogging for that, he thought. Then he set that thought aside because Quinlan had finally lifted his head, drawing in a sharp breath, and opened his eyes. Mandalorian, he said, looking at Din.
Yeah, that secret shot.
Jedi, Din returned evenly. You okay? Up here in the better light of the cantina proper, Quinlan's cut forehead didn't look so bad. Mostly superficial, a wound that had bled a lot, but not something that would slow Voss down much. That was good. Din wasn't sure how one took care of an injured Jedi. Quinlan brushed Din's concern aside with an easy wave of his hand. Fine, he said. You? Din smiled crookedly, the emotion pulling at the scratches across his face. Are Jedi powers good for healing claw marks? Quinlan grimaced. Bacta's better, he said. I've got a bit of healing, had to pick it up over the years, but it's never been my strongest skill. Fair enough, Din said, resisting the urge to pick up the scrapes. He nodded at the Duros, who was still slumped over unconscious with the rest of Joss's crew, her hands bound in front of her. That the Duros you were looking for? Quinlan's answering smile had teeth. As a matter of fact, he said, nudging the Duros with a careful toe. She is. This is Tewa. She's the crew's pilot. Din's instinct sat up, shaking off some of his exhaustion. Does that mean that she knows where the last shipment of... where Joss has been selling her captives? It does. Something dark moved in the wreckage of Gela's place then. It felt like an animal, a predator prowling in the shadows. Hungry, furious. Quinlan is angry, Din thought. The way Luke Skywalker talked, Jedi didn't get angry. Or if they did, they did their best to set their anger aside. That was why Skywalker had been so worried that Grogu had killed that bounty hunter. Anger in a Jedi was dangerous. It led them to the dark side. But Voss had said in the cave that he'd been both more and less than a Jedi. Most Jedi had died in the Empire's purges, like most Mandalorians. Din imagined that most of the Jedi who had survived had leaned on their anger a time or two. If you've got the information you need, Fennec cut in once again at Din's side, you don't mind us taking Jassa, do you? She phrased it like a question, but Din knew Fennec well enough to know that she wasn't asking. She wanted Jassa. This accomplice of Gorga's, this spy, she had frustrated Fennec in particular because Fennec felt that it was her job to guard Boba from threats like this. Din still tensed. He didn't want Fennec and Quinlan to get into it over Jassa. Quinlan studied Fennec for a moment, cool and inscrutable, more Jedi-like than Din had seen him so far, actually. But then he inclined his head gracefully and backed down. I'd like to talk to her when you're finished asking your questions, Quinlan said. But I can get what I need from Tewa, in the short term, anyway. I want to get after my kids before they move much further down the Sourlands. That makes sense. He looked at Fennec. We can keep Jassa alive for you, Din said, lifting his eyebrows. Fennec just shrugged. Probably, she said. How long do you think you'll be, Jedi? Not long, said Voss, grim. Jassa's crew moves their cargo in short bursts, through sublight, not hyperspace, to avoid New Republic checkpoints. A week, maybe. I'm taking Tewa. He didn't ask, but Din didn't see why Fennec would need a slaving pilot anyway. They had Jassa, who ran the crew. She'd know everything that was important to know. Fennec eyed Din, clearly not sure about striking up a deal with the Jedi, but Din trusted Quinlan and tried to say so with his face. Fennec relented. Fine, she said. Consider yourself welcome at the palace. I'll put the word out. No one will shoot you out of the sky, Jedi. You got a good memory? Decent, said Quinlan. His eyes danced, which meant that he was understating. He probably had a very good memory. What are you flying? An A-24. Din whistled. A-24s were new, right out of the New Republic's best starfighter factories. Luke Skywalker's Jedi Academy must have had a friend high up in the New Republic. Or Quinlan had stolen it. He was mischievous enough, Din thought. Fennec nodded. Call me in before you leave the system, she said. I'll watch for your ping and transmit some clearance codes. Just punch them in when you're finished with your hunting and you'll be able to land at the palace no problem. Quinlan folded both of his hands together, long sleeves falling over his wrists, and bowed. It was such a surprising formal motion that Din and Fennec both blinked, not sure how to respond. Voss, when he straightened back up, was grinning. "Thanks. May the Force be with you," he said. Din and Fennec exchanged a wary glance. "And, also with you," Din said. He thought that was the right reply, but he'd always done his best to avoid the rebellion and the republic that had grown up out of it. "Happy hunting," said Fennec. "Retour chez moi," Din thought, but didn't say. He thought that maybe Quinlan heard it anyway. He was different from the other Jedi Din had met. More immediate. More present. Stranger, too. "Sorry about your face, Mandalorian," said Quinlan. He flicked a wrist, and the unconscious Duras rose a little into the air. When she was high enough, Voss caught her and swung her easily over one shoulder, his bright grin fading a little. He looked at Din, very seriously. "Next time we see each other," he said, "we should talk." Din's skin prickled. He had a vague idea of what Quinlan wanted to talk about and didn't want to think about it. But Din inclined his head. "I'll be here," Din said simply. Fennec knocked her elbow against Din's in a gesture of solidarity. He appreciated it. Quinlan inclined his head and took his leave, striding out of Gela's place with the Duros over his shoulder. The room seemed larger without him in it, like Quinlan Voss had taken up more than his fair share of space. "Jedi," Fennec muttered. She knocked Din's elbow again. "Come on," she said. "Colburn's crew can handle loading these scugs up and getting them back to the palace. Let's see what we can do about your face, yeah?" Din sighed. "Probably not much," he muttered, "but let her take over." Several strips of Bacta later, Din found himself in the back of a landspeeder, propped up against Fennec, while Colburn took them back to the palace. He and Fennec had come over using the tunnels, but going back that way was apparently out of the question. "Boba," Fennec had said, sticking Bacta to the four parallel scratches across Din's face, "is probably going to try and make a point." "What kind of point?" Din had asked warily. Fennec had given him some Bacta to slap across his skinned hand, his singed fingertips, his bruised ribs, too, and the cooling sensation was pleasant. Din wanted to sleep for a week, not get yelled at. But Boba was probably right to be upset. Din and Fennec had gotten themselves into trouble without telling him where they were, and if Voss hadn't been there to deflect that stun grenade and help take out Joss's crew, Din was sure that he'd be in the back of a different speeder by now, hauled off to somewhere unpleasant. "Don't worry about it," Fennec told him. "We did good today. You got Jossa, I got to shoot someone. It was a good day, Jaren." She was surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, given the care Fennec had shown him tonight, fixing his clothes, tidying his hair, tolerant of Din leaning against her as their speeder zipped over the sand road, Mos Eisley growing smaller and the palace growing larger. Din had counted Fennec among his friends for weeks now, but she'd always maintained a careful distance between them. Din had just assumed that it was her way. Now, though, she let Din slump against her without any fuss, shifting to make room for him, their legs pressed together from hip to knee. It was nice. Familiar. Not quite like it was with Boba, but still... Yaimla. Clannish. "Like she's made a decision about me," Din thought. The edges of his thoughts were fuzzy, despite the Bacta Fennec had slapped on his face. His headache, soothed by Quinlan before the fight, had come back. The rest of his body was protesting everything that Din had put it through over the last 2 hours. "Like she's decided that... I don't know." Din didn't understand Fennec. He didn't need to understand Fennec, but still. She wasn't Mandalorian. She hadn't been raised like Din had been raised, to decide her friends and allies quickly, because the tribe was always under threat. Fennec was more careful about it. But she had evidently made some kind of choice, and she hadn't brought up her warning about Boba again, either. "Maybe she doesn't think she needs to warn me again," Din thought. Fennec wasn't the type to stick her nose in Din's private business more than once. She'd felt the need to warn him after he'd flown off in the desert, to caution Din, to encourage him to guard his heart, to remember that Boba had other things to worry about, had things that mattered to him, more than favors Boba did for his friends. But since she's warned me already, she's not going to do it again, Din thought. That wasn't Fennec's way. She'd told Din to be careful, to guard his heart. Din had immediately thrown her advice off the top of Boba's tower. She wouldn't bring it up again. Din appreciated that. He knew he was probably being a bit of an idiot where Boba was concerned. He didn't need Fennec to point it out every time Din did something openly and outrageously stupid, like wander into a hut-run cantina without his armor on, unaware that there was an Imperial bounty out on his head. Look at the bright side, Jaren, Din told himself bracingly. They were pulling up to the palace now. Colburn took them right to the front doors, which were flanked on either side by Theron and another guard Din had met a few times but didn't remember. I won't get surprised like that again. Now that Din knew he had a bounty out on him, he could handle it, he supposed. Karga might be able to help. Can cancel on a guild hunters, at least. The imps will keep trying, but... Fennec hopped out of the speeder first. Din climbed out after her, determined to do it on his own. He wasn't that badly hurt. Fennec's quick first aid had helped him recover, at least a little. On his feet again, Din looked up at the imposing front doors of Boba's palace and resisted the urge to fidget with his borrowed clothes. Fennec smiled wryly. Come on, she said. Boss will be waiting for us in the throne room. Best not keep him waiting long. No, Din muttered, following after her as she made her way through the doors into the familiar wide entryway of the palace. Best not. Fennec's instincts were right. They went down the hall, down the stairs, and found Boba waiting for them in the throne room, armor on but helmet propped up on Nora's bar. Boba was sitting, watching one of Fennec's palace maps, with its constellation of fobs blinking in their own unique rhythms, nursing a clear glass of Tihar. When he saw them, he stood and made his way to the bottom of the stairs. Boba's expression was almost aggressively blank. So, he said, once he was close enough to Din and Fennec that he could be heard without needing to shout. You're both alive, then. He looked Din up and down. A strange expression flickered across his face as he took in Din's... Well, Din thought, my everything? The unfamiliar clothes, the scorches and singes, the cuts on Din's face, the Bacta. Yes, Din said quickly, taking a step towards Boba, wanting to assure Boba that he and Fennec were fine, before Boba could get himself worked up about it. We're both... Wait, what happened here? Din asked, drawing up so fast that Fennec bumped into his back. He'd finally looked around the rest of the throne room. Boba grimaced. Minor disagreement. He waved a hand. It's all fine now. Minor disagreement, Din repeated disbelievingly. The throne room was a wreck. It looked like Boba had been the one fighting slavers, not Din and Fennec. Over the last several days, Nora had been working hard to replace all of the broken furniture, the singed tapestries. She'd directed battalions of cleaning droids, helped them scrub carbon burns off the walls and bloodstains off the flagstones. There weren't any new carbon burns or puddles of blood, but there was a huge, jagged line of stone melted to slag off the wall behind Boba's throne. The throne itself was missing 6 or 7 inches off its back. The smell of molten plasma and burned wood. Burned stone, too, like the lava fields of Navarro, hung heavy in the air. Wait, Din thought, too stunned to speak for a moment. Fennec leaned around Din and whistled. Nora's gonna kill you, she said. Molten plas... Din thought. Pause. Din stared at Boba, who was watching Din carefully, expression unreadable. Din felt his own eyes widen with the realization. You... Pause attacked you, Din said. Pause would have started the fight, Din knew that. Din knew Pause, and he thought he knew Boba, too. Boba... promised me that Paz was safe here, Din thought a little wildly. But if Paz attacked him first... Boba held up a gloved hand, catching Din's thoughts before they could run away from them both. Like I said, he rumbled, it was a minor disagreement. A misunderstanding. That is not, Din said, still staring at the ruin of stone and wood behind Boba's head. Very reassuring. Din had seen what Paz's plasma cannon could do to a person. Paz didn't use it often because getting the refined plasma for it could be tricky, but he'd pulled it out a few times. Din had seen it melt a stormtrooper into a steaming puddle of slag and burning plastoid once. Boba's armor would have given him a little protection, but... But nothing, Din thought uneasily. Boba's fine. Paz didn't hurt him. There was no blood on the floor either, so Din hoped that Boba hadn't hurt Paz, even if Paz had broken the piece first. Boba spread his hands, letting Din take a proper look at him. He hadn't yet painted his armor again, hadn't covered up the scuffs and scratches he'd acquired during the raid on the palace. Din didn't see any new dents, though. No singes, no burns in Boba's kuta, or fresh, shiny scratches in the green paint of his cuirass. I'm fine, Boba assured Din. It's not the first time I've had to duck a plasma cannon, actually.
A plasma cannon?
Fennec hissed, leaning farther around Din to take a better look at the throne room. Din swallowed. And Paz? He asked, lifting his chin. If Paz had been the one to break the uneasy truce Boba had agreed to, the Alaina, the Tuscan's hospitality that Boba had extended to Paz and the Verdike, the kids, then Boba would have been within his rights to kill Paz. Within the skill, too. Boba was a better fighter than Paz. If Paz had surprised Boba with the plasma cannon, he might have been able to injure Boba badly enough to take him, but he clearly hadn't managed to get Boba, so... Boba snorted. Still alive, Boba said, and only a little bruised, I think. Din's shoulders sagged, relief nearly knocking him over. Thank you, Din said sincerely. Fennec was still staring at the damage, tight with tension. Boba waved an irritable hand. The Verdike had things in hand, he said. That Strill. Boba shook his head. Why did Paz come at you? Din asked warily. I didn't think that he wanted anything to do with you. Boba chuckled. He doesn't, he said. And I think he wants even less to do with me now that I've wrung his bucket. Don't worry about it, Jaren.
Don't worry about it? Din said, incredulous. But...
It's a matter between Verda, Boba said. His tone was firm. And it's settled, anyway. Din eyed him, suspicion prickling in the back of his mind. What do Boba and Paz have to fight about, he wondered. It wasn't like they were going to fight over ideology. Din had already told Paz that Boba didn't follow their way. Paz hadn't been happy to hear it, but... But he was gonna let it go, Din thought. For me. Because we fought and I won, he was gonna let it go. It's settled, Boba repeated, seeing the stubborn set of Din's jaw. And it's not gonna happen again. Kasik returned from Mos Pelgo, Cobb Vanth's willing to quarter your people, and your people are willing to be quartered somewhere quieter. Kasik took them off an hour ago. Din blinked, thrown again. They've left? Boba nodded. He was watching Din keenly. That's good, Din said, trying to recover. That was good. Mos Pelgo would be safer. Gorga had the palace in his crosshairs, and anyone who stayed here was in danger of another attack. Mos Pelgo was a nowhere town out in the middle of the Great Dune Sea. Its anonymity would protect it and everyone in it. Din had just... He'd thought that he'd have another chance to talk to Paz and the Verdike before they left. That was all. To check in and make sure Paz was recovering. I'll maybe see them at the gathering, Din thought. He doubted it, since Paz had made his opinion on other Mandalorians. Mandalorians who didn't follow his way. Very clear. But still, Din could hope. He looked at Boba again, meeting Boba's eyes, with only a little jolt this time, since Din was too tired to feel as exposed as usual, which had softened. You're hurt, said Boba, quietly. He'll live, said Fennec, finally sliding out from behind Din. She was frowning, clearly unhappy that Boba had gotten up to a fight without her around. I checked him over, Boba. No one's too badly hurt. Well... A few of our prisoners are. Jaren here is pretty dangerous with that lightsaber, but we're fine. Boba studied Din for another second, then turned to handle Fennec. Prisoners? Said Boba. Din, grateful that Fennec had taken the attention away, edged into the throne room proper, circling the half-melted throne to lay a hand on the wall behind it.
Paz really... he really tried to kill Boba, he thought.
The melted rock had cooled now, forming drips and bubbles like the lava fields of Navarro.
If Boba hadn't ducked, what was Paz thinking?
Trying to kill someone who'd offered him shelter. Paz was stubborn and had a temper, but he wasn't stupid. He must have known that attacking Boba put the others at risk. Strill and Jag, the kids. Paz was the closest thing they had to an Allure for now. Until Paz could find what was left of the covert, he was responsible for them all. To put them at risk by attacking their protector.
I thought I cured him of his stupidity, Din thought, gritting his teeth. Guess not.
Din knew where Mos Pelgo was. He could get there without missing the rock shaped like a sleeping Anuba now. Mos Pelgo would protect the other Mandalorians from Gorga, but not from Din.
It'd only be a day trip, Din thought, briefly fantasizing about taking a speeder out there, kitted out in his full armor, and tackling Paz to the ground.
Behind him, Din heard Boba and Fennec sniping at each other under the guise of Fennec delivering a report. He very clearly heard Boba say, tone as cold as a desert night, "Definitely seems worth the risk of going off on your own, then," to which Fennec made a dismissive sound. Din sighed and took his hand off the wall. He could think about beating the cark out of Paz later. He turned around.
"It was my idea," Din said loudly.
That got Boba and Fennec to look at him. Fennec looked long-suffering, like she'd expected Din to step in front of this particular blaster bolt, but had vaguely hoped that he wouldn't anyway. And Boba looked furious. Din locked his knees. He didn't flinch.
"It was my idea," Din repeated. "I got some intel from Ciolo, Gita's friend. I thought... it was the only lead I had, so I thought I'd check it out."
"Without your armor on," Boba said, tone dangerous. Din lifted his chin.
"Yes," he said.
"Why?" No, said Fennec, stepping in again neatly. Her expression was bored, but her eyes were sharp. "You want to have it out with Jaren later? Fine. But it was a good idea, Boba. It worked. No one knows what Jaren looks like without his armor on. He was able to infiltrate a hut front. We bagged 3 prisoners."
"3? Said Boba, narrowing his eyes.
He didn't back down exactly, but he didn't bristle at Fennec's rebuke either.
"Colburn said he was bringing 4.
Fennec waved a dismissive hand. "The Devroni is not involved, she said. "I'm just teaching him a lesson. We got the crew leader, the Zygerian, and 2 of her underlings."
"While storming the business district?"
"There were complications," Fennec allowed. "I'll have a full report for you tomorrow, boss. But it was a good job, as neat as anything is these days. Neither of us died. Colburn pitched in." Fennec was not, Din noticed, mentioning the presence of a Jedi. Din swallowed.
He wouldn't lie to Boba.
"Neither will she," Din reasoned. Fennec was as true as Beskar. She would put together a full report. That was the kind of person she was. But she was trying to set Boba at ease. "To help me," Din thought.
Boba caught her at it, too, because his scowl deepened.
"Don't try and manage me, Shand," he growled. "I'm not Jabba the Hutt." Fennec surveyed Boba coolly.
"Don't act like him, then," she retorted. "This was a good op. You trust us, right? Our judgment?"
Boba and Din both froze. Din hadn't heard Fennec talk to Boba like this before. She always spoke her mind, was always encouraged to speak her mind because Boba valued her counsel, but usually she was at least polite about it. Fennec had never needed to get sharp to get her point across.
"Yes," Boba finally said, sounding a little grudging.
"He has a temper," Din thought.
He'd forgotten a little, even though he'd been on the end of Boba's temper a few times now.
"So accept the result of that judgment," Fennec said. "None of us died or even got that badly hurt. I know you like Jaren's face, Boba, but it'll heal."
Hey, Din said, flushing. Boba flushed, too, which caught Din by surprise. He hadn't thought that Boba could get embarrassed. Shand, Boba warned, though his voice had lost most of its growl. What did Fennec say earlier? That Boba's snarl is worse than his sting? Fennec softened some, apparently satisfied that her point had been made. You and Jaren want to have it out on your own time? You've got a private room, she said. But this room's for business. So, on business, Jaren here has potentially identified Gorga's accomplice. Even if Jassa turns out not to be the Hutt contact, she's still a slaver with an active operation. Bringing her down will send a message to all the rest of the Skugs who think they can worm their way around your edict. Sounds like a productive day to me. Point taken, Boba muttered. He still didn't sound happy, but... Din took pity on him. Boba was concerned about them both, that was all. Fennec had said that Boba had seen her fob go out. He must have thought that she had died, he thought. Like Fennec must have thought the same of Din when his own fob had blinked off. Din swallowed. For the first time since that grenade had gone off under the cantina, Din felt guilty. It was my idea, Din said again. Fennec backed me up. There was a bit of fighting, but we had it handled, and we're both fine. Like I said Fennec, tilting her head in Din's direction. You'll get a full report tomorrow, boss. And some useful intel out of all of this, too, I think. Jaren here's quick on his feet. This was a good op. Jaren, I'd ride with you again, okay? Din tried not to be obviously flattered by Fennec's words. She was a tough, skilled fighter. Her regard wasn't easily won. Okay, he said. Din would ride with Fennec anytime she asked him, too, and thought that she knew that. Everyone could apparently read Din's face, after all. Now, I would like a drink, Fennec said, and a chance to review the guard rotation since I've been out all night. Jaren could use some proper medical care. I think he's got bruised ribs. Boba swung back around like a cola claw fish scenting blood in the water, eyes narrowing. Din glared at Fennec, some of his goodwill towards her evaporating. My ribs aren't... They're definitely not broken, Din said quickly. I don't think they're bruised either. Come with me, said Boba. He wasn't asking. Din could have resisted, he supposed, but... But there's nothing else stopping me, he thought. Paz and the Verdike were gone. Gita was home safe. Fennec was here, throwing Din on Boba's thin mercy. Din didn't have any excuse to turn down Boba's care. Fine, Din said, though he shot another glare at Fennec. Boba was on him in a heartbeat, crossing the distance between them and immediately wrapping a strong arm underneath Din's shoulders, forcing Din to fling his own arm across Boba's shoulders to stay upright. Grip secured, Boba guided them both in the direction of his rooms. I want that report first thing tomorrow, Shand, Boba warned. Fennec waved them both off, taking over the glowing map of the palace and Boba's seat at the bar. Boba left his helmet behind. Din wasn't sure if that was a good sign or a bad one. I'm fine, Din insisted, as Boba steered him out of the throne room and down the long hall towards his rooms. Boba only tightened his grip, holding Din more securely against his side. You don't look fine, Boba grumbled. You look like... Where the kirk did you find those clothes? Is that what this is about? Din wasn't... He was grateful for Boba's support, of course, enjoyed the feeling of Boba's body pressed against his, like he always did. But he could walk on his own, dammit, and didn't need to be coddled just because he'd been thrown around a little. In some old closets, Din admitted, in some of the rooms behind the throne room. Took me a few tries to find enough of an outfit. Boba huffed. I can imagine, he said. Some of those rooms haven't been touched since Jabba's day. It occurred to Din then that he might have pulled on the clothes of someone Boba had hated from back in Jabba's day. Din hadn't been a part of that court. He had no idea who Boba's enemies had been under the hut. Who his allies had been, if he had any. Din flushed, a little apologetic. None of my clothes would have worked, Din said. I needed to look like a, well... Like a degenerate spacer, Boba suggested. Din grimaced. Yes.
You hit your mark, then, Bubba muttered.
Din would be offended if not for the care Bubba was still demonstrating, his arm secure underneath Din's shoulders. His steps were slow and measured, so he didn't outpace Din and make him stumble.
Clothes aside, Din said, I'm all right, really.
You clearly took a few hits, Din, said Bubba.
Din's grimace deepened.
I did, he said honestly. But none that were too serious.
What hurts?
There was no give in Bubba's tone.
Aside from your face, though those scratches don't look too deep.
They're not, Din said. I'm just sore, that's all.
Jericho, Bubba warned.
The endearment was good, a positive sign.
Din sighed.
My head hurts, he admitted. I fell. My ribs. I don't think anything's broken. I was able to run and fight just fine. I have a couple of burns.
From the Darksaber?
No, said Din, a little sheepishly. From... I didn't have my Beskar, he said. So I... improvised.
You... improvised, said Bubba, flatly.
If it helps, Din said, Fennec's already told me that I'm crazy.
Crazy doesn't even begin to cover it, Bubba growled. Garsharela, Garganasharo.
I do not, Din said, his own temper flaring a little. It was just, I had to do something, so I did what I thought would work, and it did.
Din wasn't a novice fresh to a firefight. He knew what he was doing most of the time. The brass disc, the darksaber, they had worked.
Din had been able to sow enough chaos among Joss's crew that he, Quinlan, and Fennec had been able to take them out, even though they'd been outnumbered.
Bubba made a rough sound, clearly annoyed. He and Din took the lift up to Boba's rooms in prickling silence. Din worked his jaw.
He didn't know how to make Bubba understand. He didn't even really understand why Bubba was so upset. He'd calmed down in the throne room when Fennec had pointed out that she and Din had won after all, that their plan had worked.
Is it just because we didn't tell him?
The doors chimed open on Boba's rooms. Din supposed that it was a good sign that Bubba hadn't dumped Din off in his own little room, leaving Din to tend to his injuries himself. It was a good sign that Bubba didn't let him go, either, that he guided Din over to Boba's bed and deposited him more or less gently on it before ducking into the fresher to dig out his medical kit. But Boba's expression was stormy when he came back, opening the kit and tossing it on the bed. His hands were gentle as he peeled off the temporary strips of Bacta on Din's face, easing the scratches with the really good stuff, the high-grade Bacta Bubba usually reserved for his care after a flogging. But his eyes were dark and fierce. Something in the back of Din's mind prickled.
You're angry, Din said slowly, something like comprehension dawning. He thought that he might know now why Bubba was so upset.
Bubba, to his credit, didn't dispute Din's observation. He bared his teeth.
I am, he allowed.
Why? Din said, even though he thought that he knew. He wanted to make sure before he... well, before I cap off tonight with another spectacularly stupid idea. Still, though, Fennec had told Din to trust his instincts at the beginning of all of this, and Din's instincts had not only kept Din alive, they'd seen his job through, too. He'd been right. He'd gone to Gela's place, had listened to his instincts, and had caught his target. Din could trust his instincts. He knew he could trust his instincts.
Why? Din pressed.
I didn't go alone. Fennec came. We were fine, Bubba.
Until you got jumped by slavers and bounty hunters, Bubba growled. Colburn said there were at least 10 bodies in that cantina.
I get jumped by hunters all the time, Din said. It had been admittedly less common ever since Din had cleared his debt to Greef Karga and the Guild, but he and Grogu had been hunted for months before they'd gone back to Navarro to settle Din's account.
More reason to tell me before you go out and do something stupid, then, Bubba snarled, slashing a hand through the air.
Din had been expecting it, so he didn't startle.
Ah, he thought, a little satisfied despite himself, despite how obviously affected Bubba was.
I was right. Din worked his jaw for a moment, trying to choose his words more carefully than usual. Boba had told Din himself, months ago, that Boba liked to be in control. That was part of the reason he'd started this whole endeavor in the first place. Not just what he did with Din, but taking Jabba's throne for himself. Boba had wanted to run the outfit, to be in control for once. But it's hard to be in control, Din thought, fitting the pieces together, when your people don't tell you what they're doing. We scared him, Din realized. Boba had seen Fennec's fob go dark. He'd seen it, and he probably hadn't even realized that Fennec was out on a job. For all Boba had known, Fennec had just been going about her night, completely ordinary, and had been attacked, jumped, killed. If we'd told him what we were going to do, Boba at least could have had a few teams standing by to support us. He could have helped. Din took a deep breath. Boba was still angrily applying Bacta, working the cooling gel into each of Din's scratches, gentle even in his fit of temper. Off, Boba said shortly. Din blinked. What? Boba snarled something under his breath. Mandoa peaked and rough, and decided not to ask again. He just set each of his hands on either side of the open collar of Din's shirt, and pulled. The poor shirt, old and worn even before Din had put it through its paces, tore. Din didn't yelp, exactly. He caught the sound before it could leave his mouth, but he did hiss, startled, Boba, and was promptly ignored. Boba did not apologize, but tearing Din's shirt seemed to settle him some. He smeared more Bacta on a forming bruise down one of Din's flanks. Boba, Din said. Boba didn't lift his head. He usually had no problem looking Din in the eye. Seemed to enjoy it, in fact. Seemed to treasure the idea that Boba got to look Din in the eye more than anyone else, got to see more of Din than anyone else. But now he was refusing to, focusing instead on Din's various bumps and bruises. Boba, Din said. Boba hadn't told Din that he couldn't move, that he couldn't touch. So Din was the one who reached out this time and caught Boba's face in his hands. Boba froze. His skin was warm, rough with stubble. Din could feel the muscles working in Boba's jaw. Din waited until Boba finally, reluctantly, met Din's eyes. He was furious, Din could see it, angry and wild with anger, trying very hard not to take that anger out on Din, who was injured. But he was angry. And it's my fault. I'm sorry, said Din. He reached for the words in Mandoa, the apologies he'd learned from Boba himself. Niseta. He knew what that meant. I kneel. He would kneel, actually, if there had been room between his body and Boba's. His knees would protest something fierce, but Din would do it. Kneeling always seemed to work with Boba. Always seemed to remind Boba, maybe, of the agreement he'd made with Din. That muscle in Boba's jaw worked again, bunched underneath Din's fingertips. Tonight was my idea, Din said. It was. I had to do it. Why? Boba said, biting the word off. Din took another breath. To prove that I could, he said. That I'm not just a Mandalorian, Boba. Din stopped himself and shook his head. He didn't have the right words for it yet, what he'd needed to do tonight, what he'd done. The way the darksaber had sung in his hand like it had belonged there. How he'd run Jossa down, thrilled by the hunt. You're still on that, Boba growled. His hands curled against either side of Din's ribs, slippery and cool with Bacta. It's not something I can just get over, Boba, Din snapped. I was a Mandalorian my whole life. It mattered to me. It still matters to you, Boba challenged, eyes flashing. Din winced, but took the rebuke in stride. It does, he admitted. Honesty. He could be honest. He didn't want to be honest. It wasn't easy to talk about even now, even with Boba. but I can talk about it. If Din could walk into enemy territory unarmored, face bare, and come out alive, come out the victor, then he could do this. It's always going to matter to me, Din said, even if you wish it didn't, even if I wish it didn't. But I didn't need my armor tonight. I didn't need to be a Mandalorian. I was just me, and it worked. Boba stared at Din. His expression was still thunderous, hands curled into fists pressed to Din's sides. It worked, Din repeated softly. But I'm sorry. I should have told you what I was going to do, so that you knew what was happening. Boba's shoulders lifted. Din blinked, surprised. It almost looked like Boba was defensive, like Boba was curling his shoulders to protect himself. Din had never seen Boba do that before. You don't need my permission, Boba muttered. I've never... You and Fennec are seasoned warriors, you know what you're doing. I wasn't going to ask, Din said, frankly. He hadn't asked Fennec either. That's not quite right. Din had asked Fennec to go to Mos Eisley with him to watch his back, but he hadn't asked her for permission to go in the first place. But I could have, I should have, Din corrected himself, let you know, so you knew what was happening, so you could have backed us up if, when things got violent. So you could have been in control, or at least felt like you were in control, Din thought. He didn't say it, wary of provoking a deeper anger, but from the way Boba's shoulders pulled even tighter, then loosened, Boba heard Din think it anyway. They were both silent for several seconds. You know me, Boba finally said, hoarse. Too well, Nishare. Share was an endearment. Din's heart leapt. That's not a bad thing, is it? Din asked. You know me too well, too. Boba knew Din better than anyone else alive. He could read Din's face like Quinlan Vos had read the Duros' mind, like Din was entirely open to him all of the time. It wasn't comfortable having Boba know Din that well. Din had always been private, he'd always kept to himself. But if anyone had to know Din like that, he was glad it was Boba. That wasn't a sentiment he knew how to express, though. He couldn't find the words to get that feeling out without tripping himself up, all of it catching inside of him. Boba's fierce eyes searched Din's face for a moment, then softened. Not entirely. The thunderstorm was still there, the howling sands, the dragon's rage. But he did ease some, and his shoulders slumped, his hands loosened at Din's sides. Din took another breath. If I hurt you, Din said, stumbling over the words a little. This probably was a crazy idea. Wild. Jarela. But it felt right. If I hurt you, Din continued, nerves twitching. Boba searched his face again, a faint frown pulling at his forehead, drawing his eyebrows in. Niseta, Din said. And I'd like to make up for it. Two. His words caught again. It was hard to talk about, to ask for. But Din had promised to be honest even when he was afraid, and he was being honest. He wanted to make it up to Boba, to do something, anything, to ease that terrible anger in Boba's eyes. That hurt. We left him behind, Din thought. He couldn't look out for us. That hurt him. And it wasn't what Din had intended to do when he'd gone off with Fennec to take a look at Gela's place, but it was what had happened, and Din had always tried to be responsible for his actions, to face the consequences. I want to make it up to you, Din said, lowly. Boba's expression shifted. His hands still pressed into Din's ribs, pressed harder. It was good. The pressure, the promise, It made Din's breath catch in his throat. "Jarka," Boba said. His expression was terrible and intent. "Are you asking me to punish you?" Fear, desire, curled in Din's belly. He lifted his chin. "Yes," he said. "I am."